I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're a gay.
And his NB.
Episode 101. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB. We're fully in that triple digit era, and we're ready to bring you all of our thoughts of all the things that we are watching this week. But before we get into any of that, we have a few housekeeping notes to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or one of the other lovely podcast platforms out there, we would love it if you would give us a 5-star rating. We'd love a 5-star, but you know, whatever. And a review. That helps us get into the algorithm and find more listeners just like you. And it also lets us hear back from you. We want to hear what you like, what you don't like, and what you want to hear from us in the future.
You can also follow us across social media platforms, all at A Gay and His NB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast and some of our instant live tweety thoughts about the things that we're watching and things that we're seeing across the internet. It's just a great place to get an extra dose of A Gay and His NB and get some of our added thoughts before we get them out here on the podcast. So yeah, as I mentioned, go follow us all at A Gay and His NB.
And if you'd like to rep us in the real world, we have merch. If you can head over to agayandhisnb.threadless.com, you can pick from one of our, I think, 10 merch designs. You can get them on a wide variety of products. And three of those designs are specifically Pride designs. We have Pride Month coming up very soon. So you will be ready for whatever parade you want to go to and rep your favorite queer podcast at agayandhisnb.threadless.com.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that to us across social media platforms that I mentioned or at agayandhisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure to, when you do that, to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, what are we diving into on this 101th episode? 101st. Sure,
is it 101st? That's weird.
Yeah.
That feels like weird syntax to me. Like, I don't...
Look, we're reality nerds. We're not grammar nerds. So.
It's 100th and then the next one.
The next one after that. What are we talking about?
Well, we're going to talk about Potomac. And then we're also going to talk about Martha's Vineyard.
Guys, we're almost done with Potomac, I swear.
After today, it's done, right? It's done.
Never again.
Well, I mean, until next season. If there is a next season, there's been a lot of departures and a lot of hints towards things. And Andy's fed up. Like, we don't know.
We don't even know if Andy's coming back. We're literally, like, 5 minutes before we recorded the podcast, we get that In Touch Weekly article that, like, he's organizing a departure package. I'm like, oh, God, can we not? I'm done with the news. I'm done with it.
But also, is it complete departure, or is it just from hosting the reunions?
Or is it just made up? I literally don't know.
Everything's made up, and the facts don't matter. That is how news media works today.
All I'm saying is don't spring it on us right before we record. Anyways, you're also Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Right.
Also Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which is, again, repeatedly the best show on television.
And
right
y'all
now.
Need to start watching it live, because those live ratings for this past episode were terrible, and that is a shame, because this was the best episode of the season.
Honestly. And it, like, let's just, like, call it what it is. It, like, it's racist. Let's stop this shit. Not from you, our listeners. We know you are where you need to be. But, like, the placement on Sunday, like, not all black people watch the same shows.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
the audience for Potomac is not the same as Martha's Vineyard.
They all put it on, if it's ever like a double, like if there's multiple shows with like a large black cast, they always put them on the same night, like together. Yeah. And it's like, I don't get
like,
that.
All the black shows on Bravo are on Sundays. When does Atlanta come on? Sunday. Sure. When does Married to Medicine come on? Sunday. When does Martha's Vineyard come on? Potomac. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Not all black people watch the same things. They also have different tastes and, like, views and different generational things. Like, clearly it's not all the same cast. We should be putting Martha's Vineyard after Summer House.
Right.
It should be that's the same audience.
And also, yeah, exactly. And I also, because that's what I'm like, is it not like, is it just that it's like not the live? Maybe the streaming numbers are better. I don't know. It's possible. But it's also like, I'm sorry, like last season of Jersey, they still got up to like a million viewers an episode. And I'm like, that season was trash. And like,
honestly,
the Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Miami are delivering some of the best content on that Bravo has right now and is not reflecting the live ratings. And it's actually pissing me off.
Honestly. But before we get to all of that, let's talk one of the best episodes that I saw this week, which was Drag Race.
Drag Race for this week. God, I'm loving the trend of the lip sync Lollapalooza. I like that they did it a little different this year, having the eliminated queens come in towards the end. We've mentioned it a little bit. It seems like part of the reason they've seemingly done some of this stuff is like this was filmed at the time of the writer's strike, and so they didn't know what the hell was going to happen with like the live finales in terms of what like.
Well, that's why all the notice that there were no just acting challenges that weren't improv.
Yeah, and so like they've had to work with like what they had, I guess, so to speak. I'm hoping we'll get to it. It was nice having the returning queens back. I'm hoping we're getting some kind of reunion or something. Like
we will. Dawn, before the Lollapalooza episode, tweeted, "Y'all know you're not looking. Just wait for my reunion look. That's all."
Oh, did she actually go? Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah,
but like because
that's what you're looking for me for. You're not looking for me to lip sync. We're good.
I wanted to look this up and I couldn't find it, or I didn't see any information on it. So if you know this, comment or message us or whatever. When was this taped? Was this taped shortly after they filmed the season?
I feel like they didn't go home yet.
Right. At least that's what they're presenting, right?
Right.
But like, it also feels like they might have like taken a couple months off and then come back and filmed it. But it also, this wasn't recent, right?
No, I feel like this was right after the season. They may have even like waited a week to give people time to get a look together and to give people time to work on the lip syncs because they hadn't been given that yet.
Yeah.
But I think this was literally right after a week maybe after the last episode.
See, but that's also worries me if they're doing a reunion because and maybe it'll still be good. I mean, it's a good cast, but like, I kind of wanted them to like,
See the season,
have a little bit of a like break off period, and then go into the reunion. Because especially with like the Plane and Amanda stuff, it would have been nice to sort of, because it's still going, right? Like it's still building. There's been tweets, there's been like comments since then, there's been moments. And so like, I would like for that
video with Mistress.
Yeah.
Amanda's probably mad about that one.
Sure, and it seems like it. So it's like, I hate that it's like so fresh to where we aren't going to get any of that stuff. It's kind of like the same thing with like how early they filmed the fucking Vanderpump reunion again this season, where it's like there's like half a season left. Like, why?
But I mean, they probably had to. They had to plan that shit around Ariana's schedule on Broadway. Because she was still, like, she was actively doing 8 shows a week at that point.
Yeah. It's just, I wish the timing was better in terms of like all that stuff. So we start the episode with just the next day. We don't even get them coming back. They didn't wipe off Q's mirror message, I don't think. So like, she didn't even get that moment.
Sorry, there's another reunion that irritates me that they do it that way. And it's Survivor. When they do those immediate Survivor reunions. We used to get a live reunion where people used to see all the shady shit people said in confessionals.
Yeah, go back to that. They really got, we're post-pandemic
ish.
You know what I mean. I'm sorry. Like, we can sit next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it. So it's just, I hate it.
Anyways,
so they come. The top three come back into the workroom, and the eliminated queens come back in. They don't. The eliminated ones don't know yet what they are doing.
Right.
So, and I think they told them the top three at the end of the last episode.
They did.
So,
which this is why it feels like nobody's gone home yet.
Yeah.
It feels like they brought them in at the end of that episode, gave them this, and then gave them a week off, and then did the law. That makes sense.
Yeah, probably. Amanda says they're professional. You know, I think who ended up making it to the top three is mostly correct. I'm not excited to see Miss Plain Jane up there, but that's because I'm a bitter bitch and petty. I was like, good on you for admitting it. Here's the thing. It's one of those things. I love Amanda and Plain's feuding. I love because I think both of them do this thing where it is playful in a way while still being rancid.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And actually full of hate and disdain.
Right. But it's like, you can't tell always, which makes it fun. Right. Yeah. You know, Q is definitely still pressed about being eliminated.
Oh, completely.
Which makes it may lead to your theory of how soon it was filmed after. I mean, who knows? Maybe she's still pressed. But it's like, you could just tell, like, she's the one. But it's that kind of press that it's like, I'm going to smile and be a team sport and present that while still very obviously being upset.
I'm smiling through gritted teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Rue comes into the workroom and tells them that they brought them back for the lip sync Lollapalooza SmackDown, where the winner gets the title of the queen of She Done Already Done Had Hers Is. So they're carrying that over from All Star 7. And then they also get $50,000, which that I like that they gave them a prize and something to work for. And like,
I did find it weird that they're reusing that title, but they didn't bring Raja out to present it.
Right, because you have to pass the crown off, right?
Right.
Like, come on.
So it's clearly that they're reusing the title, but it's a different title.
So, well, I guess they would Raja's not count because hers was specifically All Stars, and so they're like, this is, you know how like you would maybe you have an All Stars, the old All Stars Queen pass the crown to the next All Stars Queen as opposed to the,
sure, but give it a different title. Sure. Nobody, like, they don't crown the All Stars winner like the next drag superstar, which is what they crown the winner of Drag Race. That's why it's a different title and it's passed differently.
Yeah.
But this is the same title. I thought it was weird.
Yeah. They get into drag and start getting ready for the performances and all that. I love, they're in the makeup mirror. Megami walks over and she goes, come on, early outs. Cause it's like the group of the early people. Megami goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm mid season.
I mean, Megami was around for a little while at least.
Miraz goes, I heard mid and I agree. And Megami goes, oh, come on, dark lady, go off. I missed. Okay. It was great to like the reason why I think this episode was so good. It was so great to see these earlier out queens and see, and also getting them a moment to sort of like show everyone for the most part had a moment.
Yeah.
And the ones that even, I guess, didn't have the biggest moment, at least had more time in the season, I felt.
Well, and it also felt more free because they're at least slightly out of the pressure cooker, right?
Yeah.
There's not the pressure of winning Drag Race anymore. At this point, they're just doing what they do. They're just getting out there and lip syncing, to me, I think would be more freeing. And you could see it because the cast is so much more playful.
And in the for the most part, that is your bread and butter typically.
Right.
No matter your style. So like that.
You have a few queens that are like starting on Broadway, Ye Jinx Monsoon, or are doing writing shows, Bendela Creme, or, you know, all those wild different things, right? But 99.99999% of drag queens are in the bars, in the clubs, lip syncing.
Right.
Like multiple nights a week. Like that's what they're doing. Even the girls that are doing the Vegas review, it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just the same lip sync every night.
So it works out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. And I also liked in the buildup, it definitely felt like there was like five people who they were like, this could, you know, as much as, you know, yes, Maya is the lip sync assassin. I would say like Maya, Morphine, Mirage.
Oh, Mirage.
You know, I would even see someone like Hershey. I could see them giving like Hershey, like an underdog sort of, like there were a couple people where I was like, oh, this could be, you know, very competitive. Amanda, I would say as well.
Yeah. Oh, Amanda got me together on this episode.
Yeah. 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 So Rue walks the main stage and it's a bigger stage. She specifically says this is the new and improved main stage,
which makes me think they're moving to this stage.
Right. I had thought that they had, this is why I was confused. I thought they had just like filmed this like during like Secret Celebrity Drag Race. Right.
Right.
Cause it looks more like that stage.
I think it is that set.
It's not really like given like a runway path. It's more just like a performance set.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder if they'll carry it over. I think it's a pretty good set.
They might. The thing is that they might be, they probably will have like a runway shaped overlay on it for regular Drag Race seasons.
Yeah.
But then like remove that for lip syncs and remove that for other things.
Right.
but then still have like a decal or something that plops down on top.
Yeah. Remember in like the early seasons of Drag Race where they literally just had the runway?
Oh yeah, it was,
and they didn't have those like back parts that they added in to be like, okay, well you get like a stage.
Well,
right?
it looked like the She by Sheree fashion show, except more fashions,
slightly more. Yeah, but like I just think, yeah, I wouldn't mind transitioning in that realm.
Yeah.
The eliminated queens all walk out, and the top three. We won't get into the eliminated queens looks because I think we'll go through the lip syncs to discuss that. But like top three looks. Did Safira pack this as well? This is like My Fair Lady, but like gigantic, like massive hat, like, you know.
Oh yeah.
And then everyone was shitting. I actually liked Plains more. When I looked at it closely, people, when they all three came out, were like, what the fuck is Plain wearing? Because it's all these like googly eye.
I didn't like it. Here's the thing. I still don't know who Plain is, and this didn't help.
Sure, that's fine.
That's my issue. Yeah. It's always going to be my issue with Plain. Maybe it'll be better when she's on All Stars after she loses this season to Safira.
Cross your fingers.
Dear God, I hope so.
It's so interesting. Do you know who's... Nymphia is getting at least the most social media. Like, you know how they do the post where it's like team whatever? She's like doing double what Safira and Plain are getting.
Well, yes, that's so because she served better looks and better overall performance in the season than Plain, and then racism.
There's that. But I just wonder how much that's good. Because to me, I feel like they factor it in a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder how that's going to go. So they do the top three go to the back and they do the whole, they're watching it from the back or whatever, which I guess I had to at the very least be on the same set, right? Because it was the old workroom. So they also confused the fuck out of me with this graphic. And the graphic wasn't really what happened, which was confusing.
Right, because it was almost like there was... Because they redrew in the second round.
They did it like they've always done it, right? They did it in the case of just like it's about the ball draw and then you pick your opponent and then you pick the lip sync. And then when we get past the first round, it's kind of back to it starting all over again that way. Here in the graphic, I was confused because they make it look like it's a tournament. And so like if you win this lip sync and this lip sync, then you are definitely lip syncing against each other. But that wasn't what it was. They just did the whole round again. And then they were putting in like buys, and I was like, but the buys aren't really buys, they're like,
yeah, it what they should have done.
This is why you need one gay person that watches sports.
Yeah, well, I don't even watch sports, but I do watch WWE.
Sure.
So that, and AEW wrestling in general, so I understand tournaments, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like what they should have done, Q should get the bye on the first round.
Right,
because
she was...
She was in the game the longest, right?
Yeah.
She automatically gets a pass to round two. Then you have five lip syncs, 1v1.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you would have five people that move on plus Q. So that's three lip syncs that are 1v1.
Yeah.
Then you have your top three... Then you have a three-way lip sync for the win.
Yeah, it's really... There's an easier way to do it than
they did four rounds for no reason.
And they do a lot of it where it's just like by chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it doesn't really, you know... And it ended up working out fine because it's still a really good episode. So Bruno pulls the first name of the person who is going to be lip syncing. He pulls Dawn. Dawn decides to pick Amanda, which everyone's shocked by because they seem to be like the closest or whatever. But her strategy is that she thinks Amanda will pick the right song in terms of this.
That's what she said her strategy was. Dawn didn't want to be out there lip syncing multiple times, and she knew she wasn't going to win.
Dawn knew she wasn't winning.
She wanted to be out there and have fun with her friend. And that's fine. That is respectable. She walked out of that competition knowing what she was doing.
Spoiler alert, when she loses this lip sync, she literally says to her confessional, you know, leaving the stage, I think it couldn't have gone any better. I was like, that was the best it could have gone for you? I mean, I guess.
I mean, here's the thing. I want to see what she does on the regular basis, lip syncing.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling it's more like your curated, like your Miss Cracker lip syncs that are like...
Maybe.
Spliced bits and like comedic things.
Sure.
I feel like that's more her bread and butter, because she just, this is not the way that she does it, clearly.
Yeah. Well, and okay, my friend, like, so Amanda picks Damaged by Danity Kane, which I love that fucking song. Kind of wish they went with someone else.
I had only known this song because it's in the Wizard of Oz, A-A-A-A-H-H-H-H-H-H, like, thing that's with the dance coach that we won't mention and Pentatonix.
Oh, yeah.
They did, like, a bunch of songs in there, and this song was one of them. That's the only time I've ever heard this. I've never heard the actual song.
Yeah. Do you know of Danity Kane?
No.
Kind of timely with the with what's going on with Diddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool, because they're from Making the Band.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Yeah, Aubrey O'Day and that. Great band.
Oh, okay, I know Aubrey O'Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, great band, but just, like, yeah. Not great in real time. So, yeah, they lip-sync to Danity Kane and Damage. Again, I love this song. I just think it should have gone to a different pair. Because Dawn was also like, the lyrics of this song are like crazy when you think about it. It's like, yeah, there's moments where you could do comedic stuff with the lyrics, but Dawn just didn't do that. And I was confused.
Yeah. I also will say, justice for a mandatory meeting.
Yeah.
Because her makeup was fucking perfection.
She looks fantastic here.
She looks so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, I need y'all to leave her alone, because the only bad makeup look that she did was that runway with the purple whatever.
Sure.
Like, we get it. We know that was bad. It was splotchy.
I still think she's improved even from the entrance look, though.
But that entrance look was really good. And then this was, like, light years beyond that.
Yeah.
And leave her alone.
Yeah.
She's a good makeup artist.
Q in a confessional going, Dawn's trying to just give emotional acting and Amanda's just giving it. I was
like, yeah.
I don't even know if Q meant it that way, but it sounded amazing. Oh my God. And also Amanda stealing Mirage's heel clack move.
Yeah.
When she's on the floor and does the one side and the other. I was like, okay.
Which did Mirage even do the, I don't even think she did it.
She didn't do any heel clacking this episode.
None.
No. Which, I mean, shows you.
Wild.
Yeah. And then I love playing in the workroom watching going, Amanda's leaving it on the stage. And I don't want to be looking at Amanda because I don't like the way she looks, but I have no choice. I love it. I can't help but stand.
Yeah, honestly.
Amanda ends up winning and moves on, very obviously. So they go to the next lip sync. Bruno pulls Q's ball and Rue Lear goes, Q, who do you pick? And she goes, Megami. Like, instantly.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, that's the right choice. Maya says her confessional, Megami's the weakest lip syncer that's currently up there, so that makes sense for Q. They really built it. Here's my thing, and I always liked Megami when she was on the show, too. But, like, they built this story so fucking well with Megami, this whole episode. Like, literally, just, like, consistently underestimating her.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I really thought it was really well done storytelling.
What the fuck was Q wearing?
Can we talk? Because you were like, well, this, when they, okay, so.
It's so weird because it looks like a clown outfit, but those, the bra cups were falling off at one point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait, are those tearaway cups? Was this a Janet reference? So, and then you never did it to this Janet song.
Yeah, because Megami picks What About by Janet Jackson. You were literally, I think at one point before the lip sync, you're like, oh, but this outfit from Q doesn't really work for this song. And then I think I said to you, okay, but what song on the list was going to work with this outfit?
None of them. This would work to, like,
maybe the Go-Go's one. That's it.
Maybe. I would fit this song into, like, Venga Boys.
Yeah, this was some, like, Europop bullshit.
This was,
and I say that as someone who loves Europop.
This is like some drop some acid and then play some weird off the wall, like, obscure Beatles tune.
Yeah.
That's what this was. This was Yellow, not even Yellow Submarine, because that's not obscure, but, like, you know what I mean? It's vibe.
Morphine says in her confessional that she thinks that Megami picked the song to hinder the other bitch. It's not about specifically doing this song.
But also this look was perfect for Janet.
I really like the bodies. I do agree with
you.
It
was a little loose.
It was loose in parts with the nude mesh, but like still looked really fucking fantastic. And Megami really embodied the song a lot. She has a great like attitude, like a cool, calm attitude that I never really got from Megami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
Megami does good with her shit.
Yeah.
She knows what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. But when someone else is telling her what to do and she's having to interpret that artistically, that's difficult for her. And I get that.
Yeah. And it was just like genuinely cool. Not to say that Megami's not cool, but it's just like there's a different kind of vibe of it. Like the little like the lick of the fingers and then the flick moments were great. Like it and her ponytail. Like
oh, that was so good.
Was fantastic. And it was just completely shocked. She ends up winning, I'm not really shocked because I didn't think Q was going to go far in this anyways. But, like, yeah, I was like, oh, wow. It wasn't just that, like, she beat Q. Like, she actually did a really, really good job.
Yeah.
And, spoiler alert, when we get through it, doesn't do tricks. Like, there's no real tricks. And it's not even just, like, the sillier, like, stunts later. It's also she embodies all the songs really well.
Yeah, which is my favorite type of a lip sync.
Yeah.
Like, I want to understand that you understood what the original artist was doing with this. Mm-hmm. I want to almost lose myself and think this is a performance by the original artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I want from a good lip sync, or I want it to be bonkers banana pants. I want it to be something that is just so wildly different that is comedic during a serious moment that's not Diana Ross because it's Rue.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I either want completely true to the original song or I want Jimbo on acid.
Right.
One of those two extremes is what I need.
Yeah, I agree. So, like I said, Megami wins. Bruno pulls the next ball, and it's Morphine's. She ends up picking Geneva, and Geneva goes with Million Dollar Baby by Ava Max. So, nice, like, Texas versus Miami matchup.
Never heard this song before, either.
Have you never heard it?
No, not even a cover, nothing.
I've heard it, but, like, again, it's a...
But I fucking love this track.
Yeah. It's Ava Max. Ava Max does a lot of, like, I got kind of annoyed with... I think I've had this discussion on this podcast before where Ava Max does a lot of like, not covers, but it's like where you take an element of like a not as popular song that's iconic and then like remix it. I mean, Kim Petras does it later on this episode.
Yeah.
But like, it's just a new trend, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's not new. It's been around since we've had sampling, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sampling and references since the 80s. Like, it's not at all new. It's like a 40-year-old, almost 50-year-old thing
right
at this point. Like, it's not new at all.
There's a great TikTok account by a creator that makes all the point to say, like, well, this song came from this and whatever. Yeah. So I just think people need to recognize that more.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Yes And, the new Ariana Grande,
it's
newish.
Like, it's Vogue-ish.
The bridge is literally the bridge from Vogue.
Yeah.
If you just cut out the vocals and just listen to the track, it's almost beat for beat Madonna.
Right.
But that's what it was meant to be. It was meant to be not just a reference, but a respect.
That's the thing. I just believe in referencing as explicitly as possible.
Right.
So they lip sync. Oh my God. So they both, Morphine and Geneva both have these like giant, like Morphine's is more of like a, it's that, like she was Dolly almost with like this, like,
yeah, that dress was very, it was like Dolly and Elvira had a baby.
Yeah. And then Geneva's was like all that like sparkly, like silvery tinsel stuff. They get to they start to lip sync. The way that Geneva tears away into like the red sparkly dancer outfit, and Dawn backstage goes, oh, that's too early.
It's like, girl, you left too early. Stop. Yeah. And, like, well, and also, she was right, but like still.
Like Morphine, Morphine's timing in all these lip syncs is so, she times every reveal correctly. Like she builds to like she's in this dress for a good while to where it just feels like the dress. So then when she does reveal into this more like bodysuity kind of moment, it does it means more.
Well, and the thing is that if you notice, that the big wig had to, it was definitely glued down at first.
Yeah.
But she turns around at some point and pops the glue.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that. And scoots it back so that it lit. Because when she turns around right before she reveals it, you can actually see the front of the red wig.
There's like a little bit of red. Yeah.
Right. So she pops the glue and moves it back a little bit to make sure that it's going to reveal when she wants it to. It's like fucking professional shit.
Yeah.
Like, not that any of these ladies are sloppy. Well, I mean, a little. But, like, I fucking, like, ride so hard for Morphine.
Yeah, and when she did the hair reveal, it was fantastic.
I gagged.
And then, oh my, just the best moment of the lip sync. Geneva doing the classic, like, 8-count windmill, windmill, windmill moment.
Uh-huh.
Morphine taking the moment, looking at her and just doing like a little like tap clap,
like sort the of, clap with her nails,
and just being like, okay, good. And then the song goes a little bit longer, and then at the big like chorus moment, she does the windmill like kick up moment while looking at her nails,
like checking and buffing her nails. And the thing is that windmill goes on for so fucking long. It's like 20. My shoulder started hurting.
Yeah.
I was tired. Like I had to go take a nap. It was wild.
Yeah. And the thing I realized with Morphine too is like she has great tricks and great like moments like that. I love the moments where she in like the bridges where she knows where to mug. Like she really knows how to like mug and sell like more sympathetic elements of the song and like really build it. Like it's really fantastic.
And it's never tricks for the sake of tricks, which is my issue with other people on the show.
Sure.
It's well placed and it's timed in a way that really shows that she understands what the song is.
Yeah.
And she understands the moments that she's making. Like it's very curated. I think that's the right word, is it's a curated lip sync.
Yeah. I agree. Morphine ends up winning. Yeah, amazing.
Not that Geneva, like...
Geneva did great. She spilled again. I just can't help but think of the meme. Oh, Serena did a split. Oh, wait, she did that last time.
But, like, Geneva knew it was... Like, she even pointed at Morphine in the final pose of the song. Because she's like, I know this is hers. I'm going to give her props.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. And I like Geneva.
So I like her a lot. We're always going to love a Texas girl.
Mm-hmm. Bruno then pulls Mirage's ball. And so Mirage, I was so fucking scared the way Mirage seemed so goddamn nervous this whole first lip sync.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was like, oh, fuck. She ends up picking Hershey. In her confessional, Mirage goes, my first choice was going to be Plaza, but I knew she was going to pick some dumbass song.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's still a Cher song on the list. And just like, even though that song is not as bad as, it's not as, not as bad, not as extensive as Dark Lady.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh God. But so she picks Hershey, and then Hershey ends up picking Alone 2.0 by Kim Petras and Nicki Minaj. This was my favorite lip sync of the night. I have rewatched this lip sync about 15 times.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Can we talk about Hershey's look?
Hershey looked great.
She looked so good. She was giving Wendy Osefo if Wendy Osefo was a drag queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was very that energy.
I think Hershey is one of the most underrated, and I feel so... I kind of wish Hershey... We saw a little more Hershey this season.
I want an all-star season that is all early outs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there are some of those girls who have... Who went home for, like, stupid shit.
Right.
That really didn't get to showcase and who have leveled up a lot since their season.
Yeah.
And I just really want to see those girls celebrated instead of them being locked in that early out status. You know what I mean?
And get caught like first episode in like a fashion.
And do it like the winter season where we keep everybody the whole season.
Yeah. I think that would be great.
I think that's the better format for All-Stars, in my opinion.
Yeah. And she's got so much personality and talent. It's just so obvious. So they lip sync. It just so many moments here that I fucking loved. Fucking Hershey's Tina Belcher.
Oh, it was so good. Sophia
called out so good.
Yeah.
Great comic. Like, she's so good in the comedy aspect of this. Like, Mirage, though, is just, like, otherworldly.
There's, like, a fluidness
anytime
to the
Mirage
way that she moves.
Is, like...
Well, the thing is she just... Like, she will do, like, wild-ass shit with her body.
Mm-hmm.
Go into a split with no effort, and it's just like, well, yeah, that's where your body just goes after that.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It's so effortless and just light, and there's just, well, speaking of light, like, not just like a weightlessness, but also like literally brightness to the way that she moves and the way that she holds herself.
Yeah.
The smile that is on her face the entire time that she's lip syncing
mm-hmm.
is just...
She draws you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is a fucking performer.
You mentioned...
It's beautiful.
You mentioned the split. We have seen splits done so much time on lip syncs in the past. Like, it's very hard to shock me anymore yeah. with a split. But the way she literally just walks up and within, like... a fourth of a second, she's in the split already.
Yeah. Like, well, and it's just, she just is in the splits. And that's just, yeah, that's where she goes. And the weird thing is that we always see a jump split, right? And yeah. then a pound the pussy on the floor. Or the slide into a split. And it's like this long, drawn out thing for effort, right? Or for effect. It's not either of those things. Mm-hmm. It's like this... weird third thing where you somehow miss the transition,
yeah.
but all of a sudden she's on the ground and you're like, yeah.
But the split is almost the transition to like then yes. pose into something else. Like,
and it's just, yeah. I fucking love her.
Also, they get to the Nicki Minaj rap of this song, and her and Mirage was building up in the confessional. Like, that's the one part I'm worried about in terms of my lyrics and like getting the lyrics right and not having a moment like last time.
Now look, the lip sync was not crisp.
No, but here's the.
But it was good enough.
Yeah.
That when paired with her dancing and the way that she was able to maybe move her head, you know, like
yeah.
doing like turning her head and things like that, you couldn't really tell unless you were zoomed in on a camera.
Like, the vowel sounds were always the same,
right?
Like, in terms of that
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like it, like, I'm sorry, watch some other lip syncs. Not every time is the lip sync perfect.
No, I mean, it's almost impossible. In fact, a lot of these artists will, I mean, probably not Nicki.
Yeah.
I hate to give her any props, but, you know. But the bitch can rap. But a lot of these artists will go in and slow the track down in the studio and yeah. rap over that and then speed their vocal up.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of people don't actually have the chops to do their own track at speed.
Yeah. I would say, like, 90 to 95% of the words she had.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know... It was a great, you know, it was great to have that moment of her sort of redeeming in that regard. Oh my God, the back bend that Mirage does, and then Hershey just stands right in front of her with her like limp wrist.
It's just like, I'm not letting y'all see this because that's better than what I'm doing.
Yeah. Honestly, I would have been more than happy if this was a double.
And
they
honestly,
did some, like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? But, like,
and it would have fixed some of the fuckery later.
That's my thing. Mirage ends up winning, which, mm-hmm. But Hershey did a fantastic job. I really,
absolutely.
Really want to commend her for that. So then they're down to the final three who haven't lip synced yet, and that's Maya, Tsunami, and Plasma. Bruno picks Maya's ball, so Maya gets to pick the song, and Maya ends up picking Milkshake by Khalees. Which I think was a smart choice on Maya's part in terms of just like, in terms of the song choices that were left and also who she was going up against, I think, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, can we also talk, what was Tsunami wearing?
I don't know.
This like very matronly, like.
It looked like a porcelain doll outfit.
Yeah.
Like, what song was that meant to go with?
I told you though. It kind of could have worked with Milkshake if she played more comedy with it.
Like, if she went like the, I'm like, You know, like Wendy.
Yeah.
Like from Wendy's, like the
it was giving Wendy's.
It was giving Wendy's, but it's like, what is their main thing? The Frosty.
Yeah.
So like, if you put it in that context, you could kind of perceive a way that it could maybe kind of sort of slightly work.
Yeah.
But like, it was a stretch.
Right.
I don't understand what she was doing. And then she just kind of like hung out over there and did
her
thing.
She's like, I'm going to look cute. Like, kind of. This
maybe she just knew she wasn't going to win. And so she was just like, I'm not even going to really try.
Maybe. This lip sync has gotten the debate online.
Look.
So it
wasn't Tsunami. Duh. I still think it should be Plasma.
Here's my thing. Watching it back, I'm still in the camp that I think Maya won the lip sync. However, what I will say is I think Plasma did a better job this lip sync than in her original lip sync with Maya.
Which I still think she should have won that one.
You think she should have won or should have been a double in the first time?
I don't think she should have gone home.
Fine. But I think my issue with the first time with the Maya Plasma lip sync was that I think Plasma didn't know how to balance something more comedic with, like, I feel like she was still trying to match Maya,
yeah,
in a certain way, which I don't think is the way to go about it. Here, I think she definitely got into her own lane,
yeah,
and stuck to that lane more, and I think that was better. The wig was a little like,
well, but the wig reveal was supposed to be comedic instead of cunty.
Sure. She's like, I went from this like Ariana Grande ponytail into this like,
yeah,
like I'm fucking Jane Lynch. I was like, what is happening? It was, again, this was the right, like Plasma had to lean into the comedy specifically for this song. Right.
Right.
And so I think, what was that? Was she snorting coke at one point?
Like, uh-huh.
I was a little confused by that.
She was. No, it wasn't supposed to be coke. I think it was supposed to be poppers.
Or maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that probably makes more
for
sense.
For the straight people watching this show, listening to this show, don't look up poppers.
No.
You don't need to. It's fine. Just go with it.
But Maya, I thought Maya's tricks, I know your issue with her tricks. I thought they were still great. The multiple rolling splits where, and then the way she like stops right in front of Plasma and yeah, like perfect, and then like was fantastic to me.
My issue is that Maya still only lip syncs to this is a great bar lip sync.
Right.
This is a great lip sync for back in Miami doing all the stunts for someone who's seeing you and tipping you, right? Yeah. For a competition where the lip sync is 95% of it. To me, the actual lips,
yeah.
I didn't, what were her lips doing? Did she even bring them out there?
She was matching the lyrics, I'll say that.
Was she? Because I never saw her face.
Sure. I think like this particular song doesn't have a lot of wordiness in the lyrics to where
Plasma was serving it.
Well, I'm not saying she wasn't sure. I'm saying like the attention to me in this song is never about the lyrics. It's about like the things around the song, right? Like,
sure. I felt like Maya was there to do tricks and to show off her tricks again, which is great when you're trying to earn tips, but not so much when you're trying to win a lip sync. When you're trying to win a lip sync battle, the point is not the tricks. The point is performing the song. And I don't think she performed the song, which is why I would give it to Plasma.
Sure. I think she performed the song in the sense I think it was the vibe of the song in many ways, because this is the lip sync you can just pussy pop and twerk to and you'll like, you know, that's the vibe. Also, I cannot listen to this song without thinking of Scary Movie. This is like, for some reason, that's where it's linked in.
Oh,
my
brain. Yeah. I've never actually seen any of those movies, but yeah.
I kind of almost want to watch them with you. I feel like you'll hate them, but
probably.
But I still want to watch it. I mean, there's such iconic meme culture from those movies,
yeah,
that like, you know. So yeah, Maya ends up winning. So she gets I guess this is what they meant by a bye. She gets a bye. And so then the four others who are left then go through this process.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be. It's supposed to be random.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like,
but it just ended up being Maya.
Yeah. So they have the four others. Bruno picks Amanda's ball and she picks Megami.
So it was literally the first two lip syncs anyway.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. That was, I was like, you could have just done it the how, yeah. Whatever. It was frustrating. And then Megami ends up choosing the Shoop Shoop song by Cher.
I don't think of this song being the Cher song.
I do and don't because I tried to look it up. I was like, okay, so who's the original artist? And it's someone from like 1963 that's like not.
But I grew up listening to oldies radio.
But who's the artist that you would link this to?
I don't know, but it's not Cher. I remember it's a girl group from like it. It's not Cher though. It's one of the like the Supremes or the Rockettes.
Yeah,
one of those, and. Like the Ronettes, maybe it might be. I don't know. There's a lot of those little like trios and quartets of girls in Motown. That's what I link this to. I don't Cher.
Right.
Cher? No, this is not a Cher song. This is older than Cher.
Yeah. So they lip sync to it. Megami, I just think, definitely lean more into the Cher vibe. Amanda was kind of trying to, I think, find a middle ground with something that's more dancey and traditional versus, you know, classical. Megami definitely leaned in. And the way I cracked up so much as the moment where she's making out with her hand and like deep throating her tongue
that
into
just
it,
like,
and then spits on it at the end.
Look, the rest of her lip sync was good, but that's when she won it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, she could have stood there and fully Charlie Hyde's the whole thing and then done that, and she still would have won.
Yeah, I agree. And she, and like you said, Megami ends up winning. So, again, rocking them up. Bruno then pulls Morphine's ball because it's down to Morphine and Mirage. So Morphine gets to pick the song, and she ends up picking This Time You Know It's For Real by Donna Summers. This lip sync I also fucking loved.
Like, I didn't know going into this who was going to win it.
Yeah.
Because I generally think Morphine's going to win any lip sync she goes into. I mean, it's Morphine. But Donna Summers is such a Vegas showgirly kind of vibe.
Yeah.
That I really thought maybe this was in more Mirage's wheelhouse.
Yeah, and it's like, it's because Mirage is thinking like, well, Morphine's picking this song because she doesn't want a more super upbeat song against me. And also because the only song left after that is the Go-Go song, and Maya doesn't want that song. Which, by the way, don't ever tell somebody that you don't
absolutely
want a song
not.
In these lip syncs.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, so she's like, this was like 51-49. It was like very close and could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And I thought Mirage in particular, I couldn't get my eye off Mirage in many ways because it was great to see her do something that, again, use that sort of lightness and the, yeah. like the airiness to her drag that is also still a little like sentimental in regards. Uh-huh. It was so, and she weaved comedy in it too. It was like,
I think the reason that she didn't win it was because the choreography was very much miming the words the entire time.
A little bit.
And which is kind of basic. It's kind of, it's not very inspired. Mm. You know what I mean? And I think that's what edged Morphine over her. Not that it wasn't beautiful. It was. It absolutely was. But I think they just went more with embodying than doing a kindergarten, what is equivalent to a kindergarten pageant choreography.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say something about the oceans and do waves with my arms. Yeah, I'm going to say something about stars and point to the sky. You know, that. Like, it's very, like, basic.
Yeah. I think the way, it's just the way she sold it, I didn't care.
Yes. Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. She could sell me a pile of shit and I would buy it.
Yeah.
Like,
the double back bend that they do at the same time was great. Morphine was also, like, very sensual and, like,
yeah.
you know, again, this really could have gone either way. I was leaning Mirage, but Morphine ends up winning and I think it's still
yeah.
very well deserved. So we're down to three at this point. We're down to Megami, Maya, and Morphine. So the rule here is that Bruno then picks the ball. That person has to lip sync and they get to choose their opponent. And the person who is not chosen goes to the finals, which I think, again, is like a weird, like,
why wouldn't you leave the final one up to chance?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you draw the person who gets to be in the final? And that way nobody gets to be strategic with that.
Right.
It gets to be up to chance. Like, it, to me, that's more fair.
But yeah.
But we know Drag Race is not about being fair.
No, of course not. Bruno picks Megami's ball, and Megami chooses Maya as a to do a rematch against. And Amanda, the professor, goes, this is an absolutely horrible choice by Megami.
Well, what's wild is I realized that if Morphine won against Megami here and then had the lip sync in the finale,
she would have had to do three in a row lip syncs.
Like, with no breaks.
Yeah.
Like, Maya might have won.
Yeah.
If Megami had picked Morphine.
That's a good point. Because I think even Safira was saying in the back, like, Megami should pick Morphine simply from the fact that she just lip-synced.
Hell, it might have been Megami winning, because Megami might have won over Maya at that point.
Yeah.
After beating Morphine, because Morphine was tired and didn't get a break.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. It could have gone so many different ways.
Right. Dawn is talking about how this might be like a massacre of a lip sync. Like, they're really still hyping. They're still not being like, Megami could win this at all.
At all.
And so they lip sync to We Got the Beat by the Go-Go's. Megami, like, it was pretty even, like, for, I would say, the first, like, 60% of this lip sync.
I didn't like the air guitar. I would have not done the air guitar.
I typically hate air instruments and lip syncs, and Megami was the only one to, like, kind of pull it off for me. Like, it works with this particular song, kind of. Like,
well, because it's so short bursts. It's not like a big section of air guitar.
And she also mixes it with the, like, you know, the wave, you know what I mean? Like, you're wearing the wave motion, which is typical for this song. Maya, I thought, actually did, for someone who didn't want this song, I actually thought did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And weaved her personality into it where it still made sense, in my view.
Yeah.
And, but, like, it got, like, 60, 70% of this lip sync. I'm like, this is even enough to where Maya is still pretty much ahead, I would say. And then Maya, more, like, Megami just focused on the front towards the judges. Maya is, like, somewhat behind her. Maya does the big split on the lyrics. And Megami does the split with her fingers, predicting that that was what Maya does. And then that moment, she won.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
It was very much a...
She took your big moment in the build-up to the song and completely stole the attention.
Yeah, completely stole it. Completely made it about her. And completely also didn't just steal it, but also made fun of your big thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're predictable. You're someone who does the same shit all the time. I know what you're going to do. I'm just going to sit here and mock you.
But it's all about... Well, and that's the thing with the lip sync for your life. It's all about the attention and sort of like drilling the, like, standing tall over the other, right?
Right.
Even if the move is, even maybe something might be crisper in a moment or whatever, it's more of like who comes out.
Who pulls my eye.
Right. And who gets the attention more. And I think Megami did that.
Yeah, completely.
And she wins. And everyone's just like, what the fuck? Like, she beat Maya, which it is a big shock. Like, in term, like, I would say throughout the, you know, you wouldn't expect Megami to beat Maya. And so, like...
No, not at all.
It's and Maya was pressed. She was literally like, I've been trained enough to where I'm going to smile and be professional and walk off stage, but I am not happy right now.
At all. She looked like the... After you put a bunch of shit in a blender to make a smoothie and you're, like, getting out all the chunks that aren't supposed to be in there, she's the chunks.
Yeah.
She's that pressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Everyone then returns to the main stage and we get our final lip sync. It's Morphine versus Megami. And they lip sync to Gotta Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now by CNC Music Factory. Great final lip sync. That I was like, yeah, this should be a lip sync song on Drag Race.
It should, but I was it's one of those you don't think of. It's like this.
Yeah.
And then they start the lip sync and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this is a good song.
Mm-hmm.
This does work. Okay, I'm not mad at this. Yeah, yeah. Oh, actually, yeah. Why haven't we done this 8,000 times? This is really good.
Yeah, and they put it all out there.
Oh yeah,
Megami doing, like, because she's like, I can't outdance and I can't out sexy in terms of morphine. She's going to have that, you know, locked. I can out stupid her. And so in the rap portion, she pulls out her hand and they have googly eyes on top of them. And she, her hand is doing the lip sync.
Maya makes a comment.
Maya goes,
and she's really pressed.
She doesn't even know the lyrics. She's using her hand. I think she was just, I don't think it's like, I think she's just like, I'm rooting on Megami, or I'm rooting on Morphe now because, you know.
Sure, but also, I think it's because this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is the difference between a lip sync for real out in the world and a lip sync on Drag Race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is the shit that works on Drag Race. It doesn't work in every venue out there. But what Maya does works out there in every venue.
Right.
But what is supposed to be done on the main stage is vastly different than that, which is why I don't think she should have been past round one. That's just me.
But sure. But like, I still loved it. But like, I will say, I will critique Maya in terms of like, of her of all people being like the stickler in terms of like the rules of like a lip sync when she has taken her shoes off and then did a wig reveal with no wig. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, come on, you know? But anyways, Morphine's twerking. Like she literally was just like the way, like the camera couldn't even follow how like quick her ass was shaking was amazing. The hairography at a certain point. It was fantastic. And then they finish off with Morphine doing the like cocking the gun, like gunshot motion.
Yeah.
Megami. It like, whoo, Morphine really had to work her ass off to like put Megami down though. And like,
yeah. And I honestly think it was that last little, that the big gun thing that put her over. 'Cause it was neck and neck the entire fucking time.
Yeah. Really fantastic. Just fantastic stuff. Morphine ends up winning. She's excited. She didn't win anything on the season, so it's like a great moment for her. Really well deserved. Just a fantastic fucking episode of like...
Honestly, it was just fun.
Yeah.
The entire time through. We really got to... It feels weird because like during the main season of Drag Race, a lot of times you will get duds, you will get things that aren't fun.
Yeah.
You'll get challenges that just flop or you're like, why is this here? This whole episode was just celebrating drag in its most basic form.
It's really hard to mess this episode up.
Yeah.
You know,
and it was just a lot of people online have said this needs to be its own show.
I could see that happening, honestly.
Like, having, like, if there was another episode of this after, it would be Morphine, you know, is the person that you lip sync against at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the title. And there's a tournament up to the title. And then she does the lip sync for the win at the end.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, this reigning queen throughout the episodes. It's like a title belt, you know, in wrestling. It's like you have a tournament to decide who's first contender, and then they, you know, go up against who's got the title, and you see who wins.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be really fucking good.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Take the idea from us, but pay us for it.
Honestly.
But yeah.
So you can Venmo us.
Yeah. That was Drag Race for this week. We're crowning a winner next week. Should be very exciting. It'll be interesting to see how it all shapes out in the end. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we're talking part three of the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery. concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His MB. Let's catch up with the ladies of the DMV, where thank God this fucking bullshit is over on Real Housewives of Potomac.
Guys, it's almost done. We don't have to talk about this season anymore.
Dear God.
Oh, gee, until all the firing news is officially done, I guess, because there probably is going to be more. Yeah, I was just like, at a certain point, halfway, I'm like, wrap it the fuck up. Yeah, we get it. Canada is the problem. Yeah, it's like, I don't care. I don't, especially when we knew Candace was leaving. I was just like,
yeah,
who fucking cares? Like, I'm just like sick of it. Like, I also will have a dissertation about Andy Cohen later that I kind of, and it's not really the one you think. I don't even have the issue of like, you know, oh, you only ask questions to one side, not the other, even though I would argue that's kind of the case. He just, like, you can complain all you want about there being no resolution, but if you don't give them the actual tools in which to resolve things, then what's the fucking point? Like, I don't, you can't, like...
Well, part of the issue, the big issue, I think, is that Andy is so removed from the... from the subject matter,
yeah,
but is also too close to the people. So it's this weird thing where he doesn't really get what we're talking about and doesn't deal with that with any depth.
Yeah,
but he's doing that out of allegiance to certain cast members. And it's been a problem for a long time. It was a problem on Jersey. It's been a problem on Jersey for a while.
Yeah.
It's been a problem on Beverly Hills for a while. It's been a problem on Potomac for a while. It's been, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a repeated issue.
I think what it is, though, for me is like, it got to such a thing of where it's like, we need you guys to apologize and own things to each other and get to a place where you can be friends again. That's not necessary, even technically.
Yeah.
Technically, that's not even the thing that's necessary. Wendy makes a comment later, like with like the NECA thing, where it's like, I can coexist with her.
Yeah.
I can be in the same room with her and I can talk and that's fine. I have no problem with that. No one, that's my frustration, is that it wasn't that they needed to all make up and be friends again, guys. If you're good, and they broke the fourth wall a lot, particularly this episode, break it fully and say, because the issue is not that they're not friends. The issue is you guys won't even look at each other.
Yeah.
We're filming a TV show. You have a job and there are multiple people here who won't even acknowledge that the other person exists in the same room. And that is what is untenable about this. There's been multiple seasons of Housewives where people don't make up and become friends and they both go into the next season and yeah, they interact still. That's not the issue.
My issue here has been, especially on Potomac, is that we can't even agree on verifiable facts.
And that as well.
Because we can't, we have a side of the couch that just, where facts don't matter to them.
Right.
It's just their narrative.
We'll get to it with the fight conversation later.
It's just, like, we at least need to be able to watch the season and agree that what is on film happened.
Right.
Like, that has to be a baseline, because if we're not even getting that baseline, we have nowhere to move, which is what happened at this reunion.
Right. It's just so fucking frustrating. Before we dive into it further, let's just go through all, like, just quickly note all the news points that happened. So,
right,
we already knew Candace was leaving.
Right.
I will maintain that I also think that she left on her own accord. I know some people correct are disputing that, but like then, because then we find out. Well, sorry. Let me do it in the order of which it came out, because that's important. the day after the reunion, this part of the reunion airs, it's fully announced that Robin has been fired.
And
Robin
confirms on the podcast, and then has this shady comment of, well, I'm not going to try to disguise it as I have, you know, have left, or I did all these things.
And
it was
my
decision.
I wanted to wait till the last part aired in respect for the network.
Clearly, this was a dig at Candace.
Sure.
And then Candace goes, fuck you and your shitty news. I'm announcing my pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah, congrats to Candace and Chris. Very excited about that.
They're getting a mini candy cane.
Yeah, I think we'll talk with some of the notes from the Entertainment Tonight interview, because it kind of comes up. I think it plays a big role into what we're seeing of Candace this reunion. Yeah. It really shines a new light on things when you know that she knows at this point of the reunion she's pregnant.
Yeah. Well, and she's fully like, not at time of filming, but as of now, like 14 weeks pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, she's been pregnant a while. They did the insemination in January, or the implantation. They had already had embryos that were frozen. Right. So that was already done. But they implanted the embryo in January. It took. So I think we're expecting a Libra baby. I may be off on that. It might be Virgo. Somewhere in the fall.
I think it's like that would be like September, October, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But she does say in the interview with Bryce Sanders, because Bryce asked about like, how much did this play into your decision to not return? And she's like, 95%. Like, she talked about, I didn't think, especially the way it is now, I didn't want to be pregnant and sort of also have the processes of that in that environment. And I totally get it.
Yeah.
I honestly totally get it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, because there would have been Giselle and, well, not Robin because she was fired,
right,
but it would have been Giselle shitting on her the entire time. She wouldn't have let her have any moment.
Well, and also she was, we'll talk about this episode with like, again, all the, just the, it's the instinct where it's just blame Candace for everything.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's like, it's just like, she clearly does not feel supported for the most part, other than a certain couple people on the cast. And so like, I completely commend her for just being like, look, it's not worth it. I've got enough in my bag. I've got, you know, I've got stuff that I can do outside this show. There's no reason to fuck with my mental health in terms of this.
Period.
There's also a rumor that NECA is being fired, which it came out. It's not confirmed, but it like came out on the Jasmine brand, which is the same place that broke the Robin news weeks ago.
They typically have pretty good sources.
Yeah. So that should likely happen, it seems. I'm a little frustrated by that, actually, because I actually think NECA could have gotten a second season.
I agree, and I think her and Wendy end on a good enough place that they can move forward.
They're not besties. They're not even
like
good enough friends, but they could film together.
Yeah. I even thought that Candace and Robin ended on a enough place that they could move forward.
Yeah.
The issue is Giselle.
1,000%. Yeah. And we'll get to it also. I'm a little annoyed if NECA's going to get fired and Ashley isn't.
Yeah.
Ashley should have been gone years ago.
Yeah.
And particularly after this season, there's no reason to bring her back. And so if she skates out of this, like, I'm going to be kind of annoyed.
After she stood next to Michael after the sexual assault of literal production members.
That wasn't a line, apparently.
That should have been it. It should have been an ousting after
that. But Candace likes some tweets. Whatever. Like, I get so annoyed.
Some tweets that were normal tweets.
Yeah.
They weren't even angry. They were maybe a little pointed.
Right.
That's it.
But that's the thing with like, if Giselle's going to stay, because Giselle's not going to get fired, let's be real, as much as we want it. Like, they need to the whole thing of restructuring the cast is giving an environment in which everyone is, there's not going to be groupthink, and there's not going to be, you know what I mean? So I feel like Mia has the most potential for doing that, right? She's still aligned with Giselle, but has the most ability to push back on her. I thought NECA could be that person as well, because there's moments where she kind of does it a little bit this reunion. Ashley's never going to fucking do that.
No.
Like,
I honestly think that the way forward on this show is a reboot like they did on New York.
Maybe. I don't want to lose Karen.
I don't either. I didn't want to lose half the cast on New York either.
Sure.
But I feel like it's necessary. There's too much bad blood in the water at this point, We just have to wipe it and start over. Yeah. I think that's the only way this show survives.
Possibly.
And I think it's also the only way we get rid of Giselle.
Yeah, fingers fucking crossed. I don't see it happening, but like, you know, a man can dream. We pick up from the sort of like bombshell cliffhanger that Gordon left last episode. And so it was a little better than I anticipated, because I was saying last episode, I was very worried about, I had assumed that it was him saying that his prostate cancer was back.
Yeah.
And that was the part that like particularly worried me in terms of it. But no, he says that he's was apparently diagnosed with bipolar 1.
Yeah.
Which kind of illuminated a lot of things. It filled a lot of holes in terms of like some of the stuff.
Like you go back and see how he acted like on the cast trip with the tongue at Karen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That clearly is a manic episode. Like there are things where you can go through and see, oh, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so it helps me like recontextualize him a lot and have a lot of sympathy for him and realize that maybe the character I had in my brain of him was not correct.
Yeah. Gordon says, as early as my early 20s, I had this, and I can remember episodes over the course of my life. So it seemed, but it's like he's gotten a better understanding of it over time and was only diagnosed about like 2.5 years ago, he says. Mm-hmm. And over the years, the manic particularly got worse, the manic episodes. I don't know if you were as worried as I was, because Andy at one point asked, like, is there medication to like even you out? And Gordon goes, there is medication, but what I've learned is that the key to controlling this is not the medication exclusively. You have to understand the behaviors that are the buildings of going into a manic episode. I know Andy didn't ask specifically, are you on medications? But I was nervous of the fact that he never specifically said I'm on medications.
I felt like he did. I felt like saying it wasn't the medications exclusively means that it's medication plus this, which I think is healthy, right? You have to understand the patterns and understand, you know, when you are spiraling and how to get out of that episode without actually falling into it.
Right.
Because as soon as you actually fall into it, you're in it until you're out of it.
Well, and that's it. He also mentioned, like, I can't notice it. Mia is the only one that can like, really notice, hey, you're going through this right now.
Right.
And it's like, even then, it's like hard to pull someone out of something like that.
Right.
He does even say that, like, when he was calling Chris and Eddie and all that stuff after the divorce stuff before the divorce that broke in the news, that was also like a manic episode, essentially.
Yeah.
Which also kind of explains.
Well, and he also says that that was what led to the falling out between him and his family and the removal of him from the CEO position and the pay that comes with that. So all of these financial issues and probably also that overspending stuff that Mia was talking about before is probably part of that as well.
Right.
So all of these issues she had been dealing with for a decade and just couldn't handle it anymore.
And also there's a point where Andy asked about like, so when you like locked me in the room, and he goes, locked her in the room? And like he claims he doesn't remember that he explicitly says like, you know, it is possible that that happened, but I don't explicitly remember that. I remember taking her cell phone, but I don't remember, you know.
But I mean, it also lends to the fact that a manic episode, you can't remember all of it because your brain, you're moving faster than your brain can record.
Right.
It's like the little scribe in your brain can't keep up with what's happening. And so you lose things. You lose big things because it just can't record that fast.
Yeah. Andy asks, do you talk more about the marriage stuff? He goes, do you believe that she was having an affair? And Gordon goes, during the marriage, yes. Duration of it, no. Like there were parts, but not like it wasn't like this longstanding thing. Gordon,
I don't like that it's being categorized as an affair when it was explicitly allowed. That's to me, that's not fair.
Sure.
Because an affair to me is maybe something illicit.
If there were parts of it that were out the confines of the agreement, right?
Perhaps. I think that it is important to note that a lot of time, at least from what we have seen, most of everything was, this is at the explicit permission of Gordon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't an affair. It was a second relationship.
Right. Gordon goes, look, Mia has been absolutely wonderful. Whatever's gone on, I forgive her and she's forgiven me. I fully believe if I'd gotten control of this manic behavior sooner, Mia would still be with me. I don't think she left me because she wanted to be someplace else. She left me because she couldn't take this anymore.
Which she kind of agrees with.
Yeah, and it's like, I love that he's like backing her up.
Yeah. Right?
It's very big of him to be like, she did this for a reason. Even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, I understand the reasons why she did it. And so, you know, and Mia's crying and it's very emotional and like, yeah.
It also says a lot that he is here when they are not together, when they are getting a divorce, unlike Juan Dixon.
Exactly. That's what I think. We said it last week where it's just like, Robin, your perfect marriage and your husband can't even fucking be here.
Yep.
And the way Gordon is advocating for Mia and backing her up and speaking to her character in this moment, because he also mentions like that he had to check himself in to a hospital and like Mia was there for him the next morning, got him changes of clothes because he was out of town, like did all the, you know. It's like, yeah, like, you know, he speaks so belovedly of Mia in a way that you just don't see Juan speak of Robin.
At all. And he's never showed up for her.
No, not at all.
And so it's just, I feel really bad for Robin in a lot of ways. Because I feel like she's like this wounded puppy that is then lashing out at other people because of the mistreatment she's getting at home.
1,000%.
But at a certain point, you have to realize she's no longer a puppy. She is a grown adult.
Yeah.
You know, and she is responsible for her actions, whether it is the result of abuse or not.
And also, she's been in this relationship before, divorced the man, and then got remarried to him. So, like,
right.
You know.
For cheating, nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. Giselle then goes, it seems, Mia, like you are committed to making sure that he's okay. You know, you're now exiting. So now, like, I'm worried about Gordon. Can you shut the fuck up? You, like, she is so emotionally inept to me. I thought that was the shittiest thing to fucking say to Mia.
How dare you play? Like, she's
you
already.
You can't leave.
Like, also, she's probably already feeling guilt for that anyway.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you heap more on her?
And Mia even said, like, no, like, I'm going to forever take care of him. Like, if there is a, like, we're going to always be in a place where if he needs me, I will be there.
Like, he's literally moving back to Potomac to live across the street from her, yeah, so that she can be with him.
It's like, what are you doing, Giselle? Like, and it's also such an, like, that to me speaks a lot about Giselle and Jamal's marriage.
Yeah.
And like what Giselle fucking did in that marriage and like had to like put up and deal with.
But that's a first lady's job, right?
Right.
Is to suck it up and stand by him.
Yeah. It's like so, it speaks to why Giselle is so broken as a person to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Andy goes, what's your relationship with her new boyfriend? And Gordon goes, we're cordial, you know? So, and it's, I mean, again, if they can maintain like a good enough thing, it doesn't have to be hateful and, you know, full of hatred, you know, it's fine. Yeah. So they leave on a pretty nice note in terms of that. We go to NECA's package of all of her stuff. NECA says that she's now, the IUI that she, we saw her go through on the season didn't take. So she's going now through the IVF process. She says Candace shared information and resources. She's been a really good friend in terms of that. I like that she shouted Candace out and like,
yeah,
was like, you know.
Well, and one thing that I've noticed of NECA at this reunion is that she doesn't seem to be as tribal as a lot of the other people here.
Sure.
Like she goes on the moment. She very much like Mia. She sides with who she sides with in an issue, not just because it's that person.
Yeah.
Like she will call somebody out if she feels like that person is wrong. Now, is her view on things always correct?
No,
but neither is Mia's.
Yeah. And neither is like Wendy's all the time.
Right. Like, it's like Candace is wrong on things. Like, rare, but it, she is, you know, like
Giselle. I would say rare now, like back in the day, a little less.
Giselle has been right once, I think.
Sure.
So I mean, we all have moments, is, yeah, what I'm saying. It's like, I, as long as you're like I feel genuine in your standpoints and not making shit up because that's your friend.
Right.
That's when I can respect you.
I'm sick of that on Housewives.
I don't need to agree with you. I need to see where you're coming from.
I'm sick of particularly a newbie coming in and just immediately taking all the talking points of the lead dog that they're behind.
Yep.
I need you to have your own brain. I need you to have your own agency. And I think NECA does that for the most part.
Right.
Andy then goes, I want to move on to the shrine. And Candace goes, oh, God. Like, we got to talk about this. They really had to make the whole ass fucking disclaimer. Andy goes, I want to preface this by saying that we are all aware of how culturally sensitive of an issue this is. It was a story we wish we didn't have to tell. It was the real life dynamics happening between the two of you. Okay.
I feel like because, like, we all know that this whole fight was Ashley's fault.
For the most part, yeah.
So she's getting fired for this, right? Like, you had to literally do a disclaimer.
Yeah.
You've never had to do a disclaimer.
But also, I'm sorry. I do get, there are parts of it where I get what Andy's saying, but I also think I'm annoyed by the, like, we didn't want to show this, but this was what was happening in you guys' real life. I'm sorry. I get how production works. There is a discussion of, like, hey, so NECA, what are you thinking about talking about it in this lunch with Robin? And like, it's like, well, I'm thinking of that lunch with Robin when she brings up the witch stuff. It's like,
sure.
The producer knew that was going to happen.
Sure. But I think he's more talking on behalf of Bravo and production than production, because as we know, they are different entities.
Sure. He does say, but it's important to address that production was not aware of the alleged shrine call prior to filming. Fine. Whatever. Like, Andy then goes, and casting had originally wanted you to come on the show through Wendy because we thought that you had mutual friends and that this would make sense. The way that Ashley goes, ah, shut up, Ashley. You're going to get a lashing, like, in the next few minutes.
There was a lot of La Robins that were screaming about this too. And it's like, but they didn't,
right?
Because they actually didn't know each other. You see how that works?
Right. Andy tells Wendy, what production told me was you didn't necessarily seem that excited by the idea of being the one to then bring NECA on the show. Because in the sense of, like, again, for this was all fourth wall up stuff. But we can,
right.
Like, on Housewives, when you have a newbie come in, there usually has to be a person to be like, hey, this is this person.
Right.
It's the thing.
Well, but I love how Wendy in her response here goes, no, we're not going to talk around the fourth wall. We're going to break that shit down.
Wendy,
this is what happened.
Wendy goes, they said, okay, we have somebody. And they said, do you know X, Y, and Z? And I said, no, I don't know her. And then they said, oh, that's funny. She says she knows you. It wasn't that I wasn't excited. I just didn't know her. Like, basically, like,
it, right.
Like, the tone of not being, it was not, I'm not bringing this girl onto the show. They like, do you know this person? I'm like, I don't really know her.
Right. It's literally a friend of her sister's, right?
Yeah.
A friend. No. A friend. So it's her sister's friend's cousin.
Right. But they've met in passing. Right. But
it's right.
Not enough to form a relationship. And Wendy's like, if I don't really know this person, like, she's, I mean, it's intelligent to be like, why would I be the one being like, this is my friend NECA when I don't know this person really in-depthly?
Right.
NECA goes, I've stated that I've met Wendy and I had a conversation with her because I have. NECA being like, that's all I said, essentially. I've met Wendy and I had a conversation with her.
Right.
Wendy then goes, so did you tell them that you knew me? And NECA goes, no, I said I met you. Do you listen carefully or do you just talk a lot? Like, getting really, like, snippy.
I did think that was a good response from NECA.
Right. It was kind of like, and then when he goes, oh, are you angry? Why are you angry? And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, let's not do the angry thing.
Yeah.
I get what Wendy means, but whatever. When he goes, why are you hostile towards me? I haven't been hostile towards you. NECA goes, you've been lying all day. That's hostile. Okay. Andy then goes, sometimes for us, if two people have met a few times in our mind, it's like, oh, they know each other. It's like, fine. I get the, again, like, fine. I know what you have to do on reality television. It's just weird that Andy's saying that here.
Right.
It's, but like, we, oh, by the way, not everyone knows each other. Who,
right.
Like,
but we knew that.
Right.
Like, We it was one of those things that nobody had said, but we knew.
Yeah. Andy asks NECA, have you been trying to connect with Wendy to get on the show? And NECA goes, never a day in my life. My husband's cousin, Lebe, she was aware that Married to Medicine first reached out to my husband, who then got in contact with me and wanted me on their show. She then said, oh, you're here in the DMV. I have another Nigerian Igbo sister you guys have to meet. And I think, because what NECA's kind of referencing here is, remember when Wendy posted those text messages with Lebe,
mm-hmm.
like very like want, like, oh, I have this friend who, or my sister-in-law or whatever who wants to like have a dinner with you, etc. And Wendy was posting that to be like, she's thirsty to get on this show.
It seemed very much like Lebe was the one that was thirsty to be on TV.
Sure.
Not NECA.
Right. Also, the Married to Medicine drop is important, but I also was kind of like, so was she just going to move to Atlanta?
Well,
because we know she just moved to Potomac.
Right. Like, they were moving anyway to be on whatever show they were going to be on.
Yeah.
But because his job's not even here yet.
Right.
He's still commuting to work somewhere. So, like, what?
That was just kind of odd.
I think that's probably the reason that Married to Medicine wouldn't have worked, because he wouldn't have even been working in medicine in Atlanta.
No.
He would have been traveling back to where they're moving from to do medicine there. It's right. Like, what are we doing?
Andy brings up Ashley bringing up the Osu thing to NECA right when they had their lunch together. Andy asks Wendy, what does that mean, being Osu? And then Wendy goes, well, since Ashley, you brought it onto this platform, what does it mean? NECA then goes, I would say, when he goes, no. Let Ashley answer. I love that moment. It was like,
that was good.
No, Ashley, you're going to get held accountable for this.
You're sitting here talking on shit you don't have any clue about. Go ahead.
Ashley goes, to be fair, I never tried to misrepresent that I know what Osu means. I know it's something culturally culturally sensitive. I have acknowledged that, but I've never once said I know what it is. Okay, girl, we're not stupid. This is where Ashley... Kiana checks her on it later in a different topic, but Ashley thinks we're so fucking stupid. And it's like, these games work when you're like two or three seasons in. They don't work eight seasons in when you've been doing them for eight seasons.
Right.
Andy then goes, what was your intention of bringing it up? And then Candace goes, and why not bring it up to Wendy?
Right.
Because that's the thing. It's like, you would, if you were actually curious about this article, why not go to Wendy and ask about it?
Right. Why instead start drama with the girl Wendy hasn't even met yet?
Kind of also the like, hey, you saw these rumors about Eddie possibly being unfaithful in the marriage, and you have questions as to why, you know, is Wendy's plastic surgery and her breast implants and all that stuff and her new sexiness related to that? And you know how you spent six fucking episodes of that season talking to Giselle and Robin and everyone else but Wendy about it. This is the same thing.
At least I figured, at least that was a valid question, but it should have been asked to Wendy.
Right.
It should have been asked to Wendy out of concern for her and not gossiped about to everyone else on the cast. Because it literally didn't even get back to Wendy until like episode 5 or 6.
Yeah, exactly. Ashley goes, it was something brought to my attention. Prior to me meeting NECA, it was brought up again. And that is why I talked to NECA about it. And Wendy goes, very convenient.
Yep.
When Giselle then asks, like, Ike, is it like a bad thing? And Ike goes, it's taboo. Are you slow, Giselle? Like, yes, it's a bad thing. Like,
did you watch the season?
My God. And then Wendy goes, we don't talk about it. There's no reason for it to be talked about on this platform. And honestly, Ashley, I don't want to hear anything else, because if you knew how taboo it is, you would not say anything else. You would just eat it and say, I'm sorry. And Ashley goes, and I have. But I'm not going to take ownership for what transpired after it or whatever. Like,
but you started it. That's like saying, well, yeah, I lit the dynamite, but the cave falling down and killing all the people inside, that's not really what I did. I just lit the fuse.
Yeah. Andy asks, NECA has apologized to you for referring to your mom as a witch. What more do you need to move on? And Wendy goes, I don't need anything. We can agree to coexist and move forward, like I was saying before.
Right.
NECA then goes, I was very excited to be with another Nigerian. This is the first time on any Housewives franchise. And she attacked me in several different forms. She was spreading the lies about the Osu. Osu had nothing to do with me. And Ashley goes, true. Shut up! up, Ashley.
But also, Wendy didn't really know that until the whole thing about the phone call took over, and then there was never a chance for really Wendy to address
the
Osu stuff.
NECA then says she had no energy for Ashley about the Osu thing, never confronted her about the Osu thing. It's not true, really. When Ashley says, "I put sauce on it at Wendy's children's communion," Wendy was like, "What the fuck?" Like,
right. And then right after that, when Wendy was going to bring it up to NECA, NECA attacked her about this phone call.
And then Wendy's like, "Well, maybe is Ashley telling me that she put sauce in it, or was something really there? Because the way you're coming at me is like fucking crazy."
Right.
And then NECA goes, "She was trying to ice me out of this group, ice me out in front of the whole world." She's used that line before, and it doesn't make any sense to me, because in order to ice someone out from this group, you have to have capital in the group, and Wendy doesn't have that.
She has two people in this group that she fucks with,
and multiple people who won't even look in her direction.
Right.
So how can she ice you out? That doesn't make any sense. Okay. And then Andy goes, "Okay, well, great to have all the husbands out. We're going to dismiss them and move on." I'm going to rant. If we're talking about like who wasn't asked what question or whatever, I'm actually very fucking pissed. It's the favoritism of Giselle in this moment. Funny how there was no questions to Giselle about, one, her conduct at the Happy Eddie event,
mm-hmm.
and whether she was going to apologize to Eddie for acting like a fucking asshole at that event, first off. Second off, no question about the confessional she gave during that scene where she said that it looked like Chris had gained weight from stress eating. No mention of it whatsoever. That pisses me off.
No, but Candace and Wendy having concern about your daughter going to college in Florida when Florida is, I'm sorry, a cesspool of a state.
Six minutes about whether Candace or Wendy rolled their eyes or not. And then another 6 minutes this episode about whether Candace should have said a certain word to Deborah when Deborah was trying to fight her. But nothing about this. Pissed me
off. This is the favoritism we're talking about.
Yeah. They're joined on stage then by Kiana, I thought she looked great. I love that I think she's going to get brought back. I don't think they're going to fault the fight thing against her because
I honestly feel like she should get a champagne flute. If this setup continues, Kay needs to get a champagne flute.
Yeah.
She needs to be full time.
Right.
Cause she earned that shit this season.
Andy asked about Wendy not checking in on Kiana when she was sick in the Dominican Republic trip and saying that she was not sharing a room with Kiana. And Wendy goes, "This is my thing with the rooms. None of us had to share a room. We all had our own rooms. So then why would I?" And he goes, "Say no more. I get it." And if you notice, by the way, Kiana's nodding. So she's like nodding with Wendy of what she's saying. They then cut over to Giselle whispering to Robin, "That's not what happened. We didn't know that we were going to have our own rooms until like later or whatever." Fuck off. Okay, whatever. Maybe Wendy's just a big, massive liar. I believe Wendy on this, personally, because also we're not dumb. We know you can splice clips whenever, like, in a timeline to make it look a certain way versus another, right?
I also just don't trust Robin and or Giselle to not make people share a room just to be shady.
Yeah.
When there are other rooms available.
Right. But that's my thing. If Kiana is nodding in agreement and you're the only, it's only the YouTube peanut gallery saying this, then what the fuck? Like, no one else is being like, "Wendy, that's not true."
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Anyways, Kiana says she appreciated Giselle checking on her in her room and all that. They asked, I don't know if, I can't remember if Andy asked or whatever, but like, something, but Candace goes, "It's strategic." And Andy goes, "Why was it strategic?" Candace goes, "I think a lot of what Giselle does, that wasn't about checking on Kiana. It was all about making Candace and Wendy look like they're bad friends." And Giselle does her, "Oh, okay. All right." Like, sort of like being incredulous and just being,
yeah.
To say that I checked on her to be strategic is ridiculous. Here's my thing. Like, is there evidence of it? No, there's no I believe it.
I guarantee you Giselle went up to production and said, "Has anyone checked on Kiana?"
Right.
And then nobody's gone in there, then she ran in there and then asked the question, "Has anyone else checked on
me?" But also it's like, You know why I believe? I don't just believe it because I hate Giselle. I believe it because Giselle did a whole fucking confessional when that scene happened of being like, you know, I went to check in on Kiana, something that her friends couldn't do.
Right.
Typical. So you were doing like and that's your confessional was doing what Candace, whatever.
And even if it wasn't done on purpose on the front end, even if you want to argue that, you still framed it that way in confessional in order to paint her friends as bad people.
Yeah.
And honestly, it aligns with what you have repeatedly shown as your character.
Yeah.
Which is that the truth doesn't matter. All that matters is framing other people on this cast that you're not friends with in a bad light.
It's part of like the Ashley thing too, where it's like, yeah, Ashley, we believe you set it up because that's kind of your conduct.
And yeah, how
you
that's carry- your MO.
Right. You know what I mean? So we do Wendy's package. Wendy's package was like eerily short compared to everyone else. I get there was eight people they had to get through, but yeah, it was like crazy short and they really didn't feature much of anything. Wendy does mention that she's doing like the talk show and like the Oni candles and all that stuff, but that this is going to be her last semester teaching because she wants to spend more time with her kids.
Yeah.
She feels out she's missed out on a lot of stuff. So yeah, that's nice. Andy goes, we got a lot of comments about you calling Mia slow. Did they get a lot of comments about that?
No.
I don't remember anyone being, I remember almost 95% of people, even as divisive as Potomac is, being like, Mia saying that that was like an attack on Jeremiah was stupid.
And here's the thing. I understand because she's close to it, she may have felt a certain way about it. And maybe Wendy owed her an apology for it.
Sure.
I will give that. I will cede that ground, right? But I don't believe that it was malicious, which is what they were trying to frame it as.
Yeah.
And
also, I don't think it was unique to Wendy also, because I guarantee you if someone has like a slow moment, someone calls someone slow on right. Housewives.
Also, how many times has Giselle called people slow, including Mia?
Yeah, I got to imagine.
Like 85,000.
Yeah. Wendy goes, Mia, the same person that said living in North Carolina and Maryland was a bi-coastal lifestyle.
Yeah, well.
And then Mia goes, I just think we have to be more mindful of buzzwords, you know, which, okay.
Which... but fair, like if we're gonna
talk, right, but be mindful across the board,
right? If we like, it should be a similar situation. If we are going to acknowledge and talk about microaggressions that are towards people of color, specifically Black people,
yeah,
then we also need to be mindful of microaggressions against disabled people. We need to worry about microaggressions against queer people. We need to be better about this in 2024. There's no excuse. The education is out there. And I get that. Like, if that is Mia's point, fabulous.
Yeah.
We do need to be doing better at that. And Wendy, as educated as she is, should know.
And she had a couple moments.
That could be offensive.
Yeah.
But we all forget. There's a lot of people to consider and keep in mind. And there's things in our lexicon that it is almost impossible to not accidentally offend someone at yeah. some point. The point is, number one, accidentally, and number two, owning up to it after the fact.
Yeah, and it's like, I will clock Wendy at least in this reunion, in this season a little bit. There are a couple moments that are, that, like what she just did with the angry thing with NECA.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, okay, I particularly expect you to be slightly better right. on this. To that point as well, a viewer question gets asked about like the crackhead comment to NECA.
Right.
Wendy goes, well, with the crackhead comment, I was being encountered with the constant comments towards my mother of a witch. However, I can apologize for calling you a crackhead.
Right.
And so, you know, fine enough. Mia then jumps in and goes, she also calls me a pathological liar. So, and Wendy goes,
well, but you are one.
Wendy goes, Mia, you lie all the time. And Candace goes, Mia, you lie.
Like, your name is Mia Be Lying.
Candace goes, I said Mia's name is Mia Be Lying. And Mia goes, Candace be crying. And Candace goes, she does. Like, don't you see?
I mean, don't even, like, you know.
Candace like, I own my crying. I'm just saying. Okay. They then do Ashley's package.
Okay.
I love Andy starts with, I want to start Ashley with your non-divorce. It is fascinating to me that when it was, remember, I think I was telling you about this. when the Kyle and Mauricio stuff, remember when on Watch What Happens Live, he was like, Kyle, we got some people saying, making comments about like, you were just doing this for a storyline, which I just think is really disgusting. And I can't, like, Annie gets so mad recently where it's like the concept of like someone's faking a separation or a divorce for
Jackson
a storyline.
Brittany.
They did it with Jackson Brittany. Here, he's like, so there is like speculation that your divorce is not real and it's for the TV show and you're still married and, you know, we'll just always be married. And he's willing to like engage it in a way where I think he doesn't, he's not 100% sure it's not the case.
I also kind of feel like there was almost a, I may be making this up, so correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like when, like with the whole, are Robin and Juan actually going to get married again? Is this just the storyline? Because Karen had that question.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they have the same treatment of Karen. Like, why are you doing that? That's so disrespectful. Like, yes. That same narrative.
Here it's fine.
Okay.
But honestly, I get it because I do think this is kind of, there's something iffy with
but
this.
But I think that they are all valid. I think that they all should be questioned when there's all of these.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain moments where it's like, yeah, this is in character.
Right.
It is in character of, for Kyle to orchestrate this storyline to show up the way that it did. And we found out later that she did. That, like, they pretended throughout the season when they were already broken up before filming started. Like, there's things, right?
Yeah.
We know that this happens. So it's not an invalid question. And turns out the only one of those four situations we talked about that was actually how it appeared on screen was Jackson Brittany, which is the one that I expected to be the most orchestrated.
Yeah. Ashley goes, people have seen a fraction of what Michael and I have been through. Robin then goes, so Ashley, what was the holdup for filing for divorce? And Ashley goes, it was very contentious. And Robin goes, so it was just easier to exist the way that you were. Why is Robin asking all these fucking relationship questions?
Because she gets it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, my God. Like, you of I get, I'm not trying to be like, be quiet, but like of all the topics, be fucking quiet. Ashley says she's on this toxic cycle that just goes up and down with Michael. She says, what I realize is there are people that have narcissistic personalities, and so I'm breaking free. I filed a complaint to initiate my divorce. Is there a way to check that, by the way?
Probably.
Probably.
You know. Because that's public record, I think.
Yeah, because I, again, not fully positive. Andy asks, so we found out that you still use a shared credit card with Michael for the children and Uber Eats. Any other purchases? And Wendy goes, you didn't put these on the card, meaning her boobs. And then Ashley's like, I did put these on the Amex. It's like, you might have to report some fraud, Michael.
I guess.
But honestly, again, are we joking or are we being serious here?
We don't know.
Ashley then goes, there's so much uncertainty for me right now. Talking about like why she's like, you know, trying to get the finances a certain way and whatever. There's so much uncertainty for me right now. GNA, I know, is going to be great, but I want to make sure my kids are always protected. Talk about GNA. Cause while she said that, cause later, like Andy asked, like, how's GNA going? And Giselle, and I think Ashley's like, we work well together, et cetera. Not saying like how, like, it's selling or like how the,
yeah. Speaking of GNA and what's selling, has anybody been to their website? Because I went to their website.
Go look, folks, if you haven't.
It's a pair of socks, I think a hoodie, a cap, a shirt, or like two different shirts.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like six items.
Oh, so you're saying this fashion line is just like regular everyday clothes that you strap a company logo on. Where have we heard that before?
She by Sheree.
It's exactly what Sheree is doing.
The only thing that I will say is
the
different.
The pyramid scheme.
The only thing that I will say is different is they do have a shirt that is like the full shirt is covered by the GNA logo and it's like repeated in a pattern. That looks kind of cool. But like everything else is just plain black with a white logo on it. It's the most basic, ugly ass bullshit that I can get from a screen printer.
Yeah.
For $10.
It's like, it's so sad. Honestly.
It's awful. There is a little thing up at the top that says full line coming spring 2024, but we know what spring summer means. September. Spring, yeah. Summer, so September. right?
Oh my God, this shady viewer question that Andy asked. Do you think what Mia said in the DR was unfair about you marrying Michael for his money? Because you may not have married Michael for his money, but you're definitely staying with him for it.
I mean, yeah.
It was great. Ashley talks to this story about how, like, she was going to college and she had career goals in mind. She was going to be, like, a news broadcaster. And Michael, like, whisk her off and be like, let's go travel, etc. So, like, that's the dynamic.
Imagine if Aladdin looked like this motherfucker. Jasmine would not have gone anywhere near that magic carpet. She would have said, screw you, and lit that shit on fire.
1,000%.
Like, that man looks like Gollum, and it's a problem.
You're gonna scare children that way.
I am surprised their kids let him around them, because that is scary. That is the shit of nightmares.
Ashley then goes, look, I still love him. I massage this man's feet every night. Candace goes, her face was like, no.
I can't imagine how crusty them toes are.
She says she misspoke and said massaged, meaning past tense.
Uh-huh.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Giselle turns to Karen and goes, what do you massage for Ray? And Karen goes, a cup of coffee in the morning. I'm not touching his feet. Andy asks about, like, the GNA stuff, and then Andy goes, what did everyone think? Was the collection giving Lululemon meets Savage? And I love Kiana goes, no, ma'am. Kiana was being very judicious throughout. Like, she was kind of praising Giselle and Robin in moments of, like, welcoming her. But right. Even so, she was like, no, that was trash.
No. It was the Lululemon.
NECA goes, it was kind of like streetwear. And Andy goes, kind of she by Sheree. Karen goes, no, kind of grocery store. Like, I'm going to catch a man or a booty call.
It wasn't even that. Like, I would be embarrassed to wear that to a booty call.
Yeah. But when Karen says that, Giselle goes, I'm not mad at that. Like, you should. That's not what you, pitched.
Because that's a compliment to what it is. That's why she's not mad at that. She knows it's trash.
Yeah. Ashley goes to Karen, you ever worn something similar before? Karen goes, I have not. My darling, I don't think so. No, I'm
no.
Not. No. She's not. I'm not going to own
even
that.
Her workout gear looks better than that.
That part. Okay, so now we're going to get into the fight that happened at the party. Andy asked Kiana to tell her side. Kiana goes, I was there trying to de-escalate the situation, and Deborah clearly came in with the intent to have this moment. I don't know Deborah. I've never seen Deborah before, which is such a great point of just like, why would I want to fight Deborah? You know what I mean? Like, what issue do I have with Deborah? To where, like,
nothing.
It wasn't what it was.
Other than it's Deborah.
Andy then goes, this is, Andy's questioning pissed me off so much in this sort of segment. She goes, in the footage, you can be seen throwing punches as Deborah throws a drink on you. What was going through your mind in that moment?
Also, if you're going to fucking reference the TMZ footage, put it on my screen.
Yeah, they never show it. I don't get it. Kiana goes, at that moment, I was assaulted. Someone hit me in the head with a glass, split my face open. So my first instinct was to defend myself. Like,
yeah. And also, I love how Andy's like, we could see you throwing punches while she's throwing a drink. No, you fucking can't.
Yeah.
You can see her put her arm out to keep her away as the drink is being thrown. And then she gets banged in the head with a piece of glass.
Right.
And then the punches start being thrown. Do not mistake the order.
Right.
Because what you're doing is making it like this was equal on both sides, as opposed to it being an outright attack by Deborah. I am very, very careful about using that word with physical violence with a black woman. But
I'm also still,
this was an attack. It was planned. It was premeditated. This was an attack.
I'm also mad we still don't talk about the Ashley's other friend in the yellow that grabs Kiana by the hair and pulls her down when they're scuffling.
Who is she? Why is she here? Well, I want to hear from her.
Well, to me, like, if you're trying to, if that's like, oh, Deborah's my friend, because they're all in the same like mommy group, I'm assuming. If Deborah's my friend, you're pulling Deborah off of the girl. You're not then trying to attack the girl with Deborah.
Right. There was, because, and it's one thing if you're trying to hold your friend back, you don't do that by grabbing them by the hair.
Yeah.
That is not something. Also, can we talk about how Deborah walked into this quote unquote fashion show dressed for a fight?
Well, when
she's wearing a tank top and her hair's in a top knot, she is not, this is not something
everyone else
you
is
wear
in dresses and like,
right. This is not something you wear to a fashion event. This is
that's such a good point.
She showed up in athletic gear.
Yeah.
Like she was going to be walking the runway in this bullshit that they were showing. So like, there's no way that this wasn't premeditated. They knew from before she got started getting ready that this was going to happen.
I agree. Andy then goes, when the cameras went down leading up to the fight, Candace, had you been calling Deborah names that evening and she confronted you, or was it more out of nowhere?
Objection. Relevance.
But, like, why are you asking? Can't you have the footage? You have the audio. It's in the audio.
Mm-hmm.
You have that.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you asking Candace about it?
Maybe they lost it, too. Even though they played it a second ago, maybe they lost it.
Yeah. Candace is like, it was out of nowhere. And then details the Paul thing of like, we're dancing, having a good time. She comes up to me, gets right in my face and says, do you have something you want to say to me? And I say, no. We then distance. And I'm telling people as she's like coming towards me, get the help. Get, you know, she says, when I was referring to her as the help and whatever else I said,
Vermin,
Oscar the Grouch, all of which I meant. I love that she added that, by the way. It's like, it was after she had gotten in my face and tried to engage in a moment. Mia then goes, I will say that Deborah was on a rampage that night because she did try to do the same thing she did to Candace with me.
Thank you.
Well, sort, yes. And she goes, because Mia's like, she comes up to me and goes, I'm only a four, Mia. I'm only a four because Mia's confessional from last season. Mia goes, and I was like, no, you're a black queen. We're all tens. And it was squash. And had I said, yeah, bitch, you're a four, she probably would have thrown the drink in my face. But I didn't. So you have to be mindful sometimes that you're sitting in a seat where you have more to lose. Don't entertain. Mia addresses it in a way that
I don't like the way that she addressed it, but I did like the fact that it exposed that she came here for a fight.
Well, oh, yeah.
That was the point. To me, that's what I got from that. Mia was just playing both sides of the fence. Who gives a shit?
I'm also annoyed with Mia contributing into this in terms of the dynamics of it when she literally threw a drink on Wendy last season for words. And
right.
It's almost as if she was saying, if I had said, yeah, bitch, you're a four, and she threw a drink on me, then that would be justified. That's not the message.
Well, and it was like she was retroactively excusing her behavior.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, I'm sorry. Again, we teach this to kindergartners.
Right.
Just because someone says something to you does not mean you can physically attack them.
Now, if they put their hands on you, I was the person that was raised, you don't start nothing.
Right.
But if you need to end it, you end it.
Right.
Which means you don't put your hands on someone else.
Hence why you would be the one picking up the champagne bottle.
Exactly. And I wouldn't have let nobody hold me back neither. I would have been, look, I have spent a lot of time in hospitals. I don't like them. I'll go to jail this time.
Right.
You go into the hospital. That's how I feel.
But that's why this whole discussion is like they've abandoned like basic human thinking just to blame Candace. You know what I mean? Any human thinks like this. Andy goes, Giselle, after seeing the footage, what did you make of it? I'm like, why are we asking Giselle this?
Giselle was not even in the building. But Robin was on her way out.
Well,
why do we give a shit what these bitches think?
That's why he makes the point to say after seeing the footage, right? And then Giselle goes, you know, I think that looking at the footage, I think everybody is responsible. I think Deborah, Candace, Wendy, and Kay, everyone's responsible. That's so stupid. That is so fucking stupid. And Candace is going, wow. Wow. And then I think she literally looks to a producer or something and goes, y'all want to be friends with this? You want me to make up with this?
And notice how it's all people that are on the other side of the aisle, but Ashley wasn't named in that. Charisse wasn't named in that. And both of them were involved in this altercation as well.
Sure.
So it's like,
But
people you're aligned with are fine.
Based on the footage, I think Wendy is responsible. She names Wendy before Kay. And I'm like, in what? I get you're trying to spin, like the Deborah spin later of like, they were calling me names. They weren't. But like,
and even if that's not an excuse.
Giselle always says, based off of the footage I saw, Wendy's at fault. Wendy doesn't do anything in the fucking footage. And literally Wendy goes, what did I do? Here you go with these blanket statements. I'm so glad Mia was even like, Wendy had nothing to do with that. Like Mia's even checking Giselle in this moment. And then Giselle goes, oh, not Wendy. Oh, okay. I'll take Wendy out of it. I'll take Wendy out of it.
Well, it's also...
Oh, thank you, Giselle. Thank you so much for taking Wendy out of it from your bullshit fucking claim that you just put out onto this platform.
But it's also
You're so generous.
It's also clear that she never fucking watched the footage.
Yeah.
Because you don't even barely see Wendy. You barely see fucking Candace. In fact, you see more of Wendy than you do of Candace.
Right. But it's crazy to me that, like, I really believe that in terms of this whole, like, ownership dynamic of, like, the what they're promoting for this reunion. Like, Candace is – the times that Candace is apologizing, it's for tangible things. Here, it's Giselle will put something out there and just be like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Or, oh, I should have said this. Oh, I'll take Wendy out of it. That's not – you're not apologizing for anything.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? It's
There's
like,
no ownership.
Karen goes, Candace, please repeat because I don't want to quote you. Why did you call her a varmint? And Wendy goes, vermin. And Karen goes, oh, vermint.
She's her country bumpkin jumped out and jumped back in. It was so good.
Candace goes, she walked up to me, got right in my face and said, do you have something to say to me? I said, no. I then said, come get this vermin out of my face. And Mia goes, I know, but you can't do that. And Candace goes, yes, I can. You cannot tell me how to respond to someone that has already threatened me.
Yeah. And already accused my husband of sexual assault.
Right. It's like,
because beyond what Giselle said, we have to remember that Muppet Head over here accused Chris of squeezing on somebody's ass.
Right.
And did pretty much the same thing to Eddie, if I remember correctly.
I'm smiling. Happy Eddie, remember.
Like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
The lengths that this woman will go to bring down this cast. It's exhausting.
Andy goes, do you think you really would have swung it at her? And Candace goes, I don't know. I turned around and I saw this person lunging at me. And then she's tearing up and she goes, I'm not expecting you all to fight for me, okay? So I'm on my own.
Period.
And Robin pulls like a laughing face, which I was like, ooh, I fucking hate you this reunion, Robin.
Oh, so you were going to jump in there and defend her?
Yeah, please.
You, who won't even defend yourself in your marriage, you were going to defend her.
Andy then goes, Ashley, you said in an interview that you still put blame on Candace for going too far with her mouth. Ashley goes, words play a factor. And Candace goes, it's always my fault. Ashley goes, I didn't say it was your fault. Candace goes, you justified violence against me. Again, by the way, because you did it with Monique.
Yep.
And like, what are you saying? You're not saying it's her fault. You're just saying if she didn't say those words, it wouldn't have. That you're saying it's her fault, Ashley.
Yeah.
Again, like, oh my God. Ashley goes, I'm not attributing that horrendous incident to you. Your words instigated it and made it more explosive. Those two sentences are literally two different things. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, and even then, like, if you want to say the thing about Monique because Candace's hands were, like, in her face, and I could understand how Monique may have interpreted that as a physical threat.
Yeah.
There, it's a lot more of a gray area in that fight than it was here.
Right.
Candace did nothing physical. There was no physical aggression at all from Candace.
No.
Candace was completely innocent in this altercation.
Yeah.
Completely.
Candace goes, no, she was going to do that whether I said nothing or tried to beat me up. She came with the intention to fight me. Like, they're not acknowledging that Deborah's a mess box who wanted a physical fight with Candace.
Yeah.
Candace goes, the fact that we are here again and me using my words somehow trumps someone attempting to physically attack me. And Andy goes, I don't think anyone says your words trump that. She says your words play a part. And Candace goes, no, they don't.
They literally don't.
Andy, I love the way Candace puts this. Andy then goes, what they're saying is you were playing with a loaded gun. Candace then goes, well, I'm also a loaded gun. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, why is all the smoke on Candace for being like, you shouldn't have used this word when she got into your face because you know Deborah is a loaded gun that could fight you. Well, guess what? Deborah knows what Candace is, and Deborah should then know if you're going to get in Candace's fucking face, she might call you a fucking vermin.
Yeah. And again, I'm just going to reiterate with a caveat. There is virtually no language that will excuse physical violence.
Never.
The only time I will say that there is if it's a slur.
But sure.
If you're actually going to go into full-on hate speech with me, I will punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, I'm fine with punching a Nazi or like a...
But beyond that, if somebody's in there slinging around racial slurs at you, some white person, pop them in the mouth.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. But like, words beyond hate speech do not deserve physical violence.
No.
Period. I don't care if they're dragging your mama. I don't care if they're dragging your firstborn.
But again,
I don't care what is happening.
It's the whole foundation of this show.
Right.
It's the whole foundation of this franchise. Like, and this Beast of Real Housewives.
Right.
You fight with your words.
Right.
Stupid. Andy goes, Ashley, did you invite Deborah around to stir things up? And Ashley goes, no. Andy goes, it seemed like she only came around last season to drop bombs about people's husbands. Ashley then goes, I did not invite Deborah to be messy. She had previously expressed to me that she wanted to clear the air with you and that she didn't know if she would have she would have the opportunity. Go fuck yourself, Ashley. Go fuck yourself.
Because
you didn't mention jack shit about this in the finale.
Not to mention the fact that if that was the case, not only would Deborah have been mic'd so that that could happen on camera,
yeah,
but also you wouldn't have specifically asked production if cameras were down before you sicked her on Candace.
But what was she maintaining in the confessionals? I just couldn't imagine that Ashley or that Candace and Deborah couldn't coexist across separate sides of the fucking venue and not interact with each other. You knew Deborah was looking to, in your words, have a conversation, whatever she said. Like, but you know that. You know what was going to transpire.
Well, and Ashley, again, Ashley keeps up with this narrative of she wasn't in the room when she's literally on the TMZ footage.
Yeah. I love Kiana goes, well, that was not clear the air energy.
No, at all.
Ashley goes, that's what she told me. And Candace goes, and you believed her? Ashley goes, well, what else do I have to go on?
Her behavior.
Everything from last season. That's my thing. You still defended her at the reunion last season when, like, there was physical video evidence to show that she was a lying fucking mess box.
In fact, if I remember correctly, your defense was, well, she says that wasn't the right footage. Yeah.
So, like, you had stuff to go off. Like, oh, my God. So stupid. Ashley goes, Deborah, I don't know Deborah to be a violent person. Candace goes, well, she's violent. And then, did you notice Ashley at one point is talking more about it? And she goes, look, you know, Deborah, you know, was a close friend of mine. I felt like that was, like, a fuck up. Of like, I'm still talking to this person.
Oh, yeah, you know she is.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it was a purposeful, like, no, I want to make sure I emphasize that we are no longer friends.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous, Ashley.
Ashley then makes a point to apologize to Kiana, which, no, she doesn't apologize to Candace at all.
Of course not.
Ashley then goes, I'm sorry that you went through that, truly. Andy goes, do you accept that? Kiana then goes, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like Ashley is the queen of the aftermath apologies.
Ate her ass up.
When it comes to these situations. I accept that you're big enough to apologize, and that's all I have to say. Ashley, but notice that also, this is where I was like, where Andy's reunion hosting annoyed me. He starts going, Kiana, is there anything last you want to say? As Ashley's trying to like count. And it's like, no, let them go at it a little bit because this is important.
Right. It's the same sort of thing. Used to, reunions were messy as hell.
Yeah.
And they, like we remember, like, people, like, getting up off of couches, screaming at each other. That's, like, old school. Like, go back to that shit.
Right.
Get us back to that, where people are actually hashing shit out without you standing in the middle, as opposed to this weird fucking kumbaya bullshit that you're trying to make happen.
But it's also like, we got to get to the core of the problem. And if Andy had cut her off, we wouldn't have gotten this moment. Because Ashley then goes, you know, why is it an aftermath? Can't I only say it in an aftermath, an apology? Kiana goes, I mean that you're not proactive in general about not causing a mess.
Right.
And Wendy pulls a face like, ooh, which is that. Yes, that's the thing, Ashley. You apologize after the fact, you do whatever, but it's time and time and time and time again that you are in these messes.
Yeah. At a certain point, your apology no longer matters because you continue the pattern of behavior that causes the issue in the first place.
Right.
Your actions have to change in order for your apologies to mean anything.
Right.
And it just hasn't.
Before they send Kiana, Kiana makes a point to specifically thank Karen for like for being her support. Like after the fight, Karen goes, "Don't make me cry." And but talking about like her mom wasn't there, so she was like, yeah. She rode with her to the hospital, and all, so it was, you know. Karen goes, "Listen, the one thing that I will never not do is take care of any one of you, including Robin." And Robin goes, "Robin." It's like, shut up, like. Karen goes, "Look, Robin probably would take care of me too. She just won't say it." They let Kiana go. And then, okay, then they're doing the final wrap up. Andy goes, "I want to see what we can do to make any progress that's left and thaw some pies. Is there anyone who wants to step up and apologize or own anything and throw into the embers of yesteryear?" Long silence. And I think Ashley goes, "Anyone want to hug anybody?" No. Andy goes, "Candace and Robin, anything?" Robin goes, "I don't have any anger. When you had a friendship that we had and you go through this, it doesn't just heal itself in one day, but I have no animosity. I don't have any hatred." Candace goes, "I can say the same. I feel like over the course of this season, I mourn this friendship and I'm in a neutral place. I mean, you said the friendship is over, so if there's any movement, the ball's in your court." I love that she, like...
But I love how she also still, even in this moment, is saying, "This really hurt me, and I still love you, and if you were to come back to me and actually try to make this work, I would be open to that."
Yeah, I believe that.
And that just shows Candace's character... That is just not echoed by a lot of the people on this cast.
Yeah. Andy goes, "NECA and Wendy, I get the sense that this isn't going to happen." And NECA goes, "Look, Andy, I continuously have taken accountability for everything I've done and said. I left everything at the table that day and was ready to move forward." Wendy goes, "You know, my comment to NECA still remains, which is, what have I done to you? I said we can coexist, that we can move forward." Candace goes, "And you did both apologize to each other." Wendy goes, "And I apologized earlier for the crackhead comment." NECA goes, "I didn't receive a direct apology." And he goes, "We're not rehashing." And Candace's like, "I'm just saying that there was apologies." And the way Wendy keeps going, "Yeah, today I apologize for the crackhead comment. Okay, move on. Apologize for the crackhead."
Because that's all she did. Yeah. That's all that she did. She did literally fuck all else.
Yeah. Andy goes, "Giselle and Candace, I'm not even going to try." And Giselle kind of pulls a face like, "Correct," as if like you shouldn't try. Like, girl, like, we get it. Like, Candace goes, "I came here today with the intention to move forward. I think I have, from the bottom of my coochie, tried." And Giselle goes, "Try to do what? You move forward because you acknowledge things." And Candace just goes, "You aren't capable of accountability." That, which is so blunt and yeah. Like, but it's like, she isn't capable of it. It's not in her. Like at the end of the day,
the truth ain't in the bitch.
There we go. Andy goes, "I think the two of you need Jesus himself." And Candace goes, "I have him. He's right here." Points to her heart. Giselle goes, "I can't wait for this to air and the tweets."
Which she really think that Twitter was going to be on her side?
See, I think that she meant that Candace was going to be tweeting afterwards or whatever. I think that's what she meant. But which also, I don't think Candace did at
nope.
all.
She has washed her hands.
For the most part. And Candace goes, "I can't either. Narcissism at its finest with you."
Period.
Oh my. So then, again, because we're not actually delving into deep things, we're just doing like, you know, Andy then brings out a thing of pies. To handle yeah. the pies or whatever, because this is more important. And then Karen and Giselle get up and crown him the Duke of Potomac. And he's like, "Oh my God, I'm the Duke of Potomac." Like,
it's so fucking unserious. I'm tired.
The way that Candace goes, "That you are." I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just like, guys, we're not actually putting in the work at this point with these reunions. No. And like, you gotta, you know.
Well, I feel like since Salt Lake started.
Yeah.
All of the seasons have really started turning into these same parodies. Because we talked about Salt Lake City was a parody of Housewives, right? Mm-hmm. And it felt like someone who had been watching Housewives trying to recreate it and just camping it up.
Yeah.
And this is missing the camp and just fucking it up. Like, there's no tongue-in-cheek. There's no... enjoyability to it. And I feel like a lot of the franchises have gotten to that place.
Right.
To where it's just like this sad echo of what it used to be. And it's just, I have seen the thought floated online of, is this the end of Housewives? Is this era over or about to be over?
I don't think it fully is. I think it's just you can't rest on your laurels, I feel, is the big thing. I think you always have to be on top of it. Because we see like shows like Miami that are thriving really well, and Salt Lake got to a really good place. Like, I think like you just need to mix it up. I think you have to have producers that know how to actually foster something great and just not like go by the numbers of things.
Yeah.
I think you need a cast that never feels too comfortable, and you like those are the things that are required. Right. And I just think they've lost that in terms of this.
Did you see, cause I didn't see them. Did you see the ratings for this episode? Because there was a boycott going around on Twitter.
It was like slightly down, but not that much.
Okay.
It was like maybe a couple like 10,000 less or 20,000 less.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. It's, I don't think it's gonna, I don't think that was gonna really like bend as much, but like, I just think
there's also a petition going around to get Giselle fired.
Again, I think it's would fix a lot, but again, I just don't think,
I don't think it's gonna happen without a full reboot.
She's locked in with that network, and I just think like it's like,
and if we were gonna do a reboot, I would be okay with the only person being kept is Kay. Center it around Kay and that generation in Potomac.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, like this younger 30-somethings. You know, I feel like maybe, I feel like that's where we need to be focusing, because I think part of the issue is that we've hung on to legacies for so long, and people have stayed on the show because they've always been on the show, and that's across Housewives. You know, I don't think that everybody needs to be on forever, right. You know, like we saw where people need to take breaks and come back. Tamara is a great example of that. Vicky is a great example of that, needed to take a break and come back. Like, we have seen where like Teresa and Melissa are overstaying their welcome by a lot on New Jersey, and it just needs new blood because there's so much old blood.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and yeah, I think this is fixable.
It needs a new breath.
I think it's fixable. I just, yeah, it's frustrating. Hopefully they can find a way to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Potomac. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm your Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at survivorsknow.threadless.com.
That's survivorsknow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His MB. Let's head back to Massachusetts, where after a night of gas-inducing arguments, some of the house guests seek redemption at church before a lovely dinner out spent fighting about last year's drama on Summerhouse Martha's Vineyard.
Summerhouse Martha's Vineyard for this week. This is a great episode.
It really was.
Again, like we said before, we won't rehash it again, but it's just like, watch Summerhouse Martha's Vineyard. It's great right now. Really, really great stuff. We pick up from when Summer was storming out of the car after her fight with Jordan.
Wild.
It's, and Summer's talking in her confessional about like her frustration. She's like, during dinner, I asked Jordan not to speak to me disrespectfully, and in the car she did it again. I shouldn't have to ask you to talk to me, right? Which I agree with. And I will say this, throughout this episode, we'll get to the conversation with Jordan and Summer later, I do have an issue with Jordan's delivery at times.
Yes, it feels very much like she is lashing out at others due to her own internal issues.
Yeah.
Like she's struggling with the alopecia stress. She's struggling with this, that, and the other thing. And she's taking that out on other members of her cast.
Right.
And it makes it seem like she's like more irritable. And I get it. I get being in the middle of stress and not being able to separate that and compartmentalize that from what is happening in the moment. But like, girl, you gotta get a handle on it or something, because Summer didn't deserve that, especially after just getting literally dismissed by Shanice.
It was a build-up.
She was already like on edge, and then you popped off at her like that. Girl,
can I also say I'm really starting to like Summer more in terms of like,
yeah,
and
her, I didn't really like her that much last season, but this season
her and she's not always right, and she's messy at times.
Yeah,
like her and Jasmine on Watch What Happens Live was great for this episode.
Yeah,
they're really cool, and I feel like I would be friends with them.
Yeah,
like
I really like them.
But Summer's still in her like drunk, like crying mode about the fight. She walks up, and as soon as she sees Jasmine, she goes, "Can I sleep in your room tonight?" And Jasmine's like, "What's wrong?" As this was so hilarious. As this is happening, Nick and Shanice are in the living room just eating chips, and be like, Shanice's like, "I didn't know there was tension." And then she just pauses, and then she dips her chip in Nick's dip, and he goes, "What's that, sour cream and cheddar?" And she's like, "Mm-hmm." They were so invested in like these chips and dip thing, and Nick, like at one point Nick's like, "Barbecue with this?" and she goes, "Oh, that's bomb."
It was just the interspersing of this in between this like really emotionally charged fight. Like it's just funny.
Yeah, I also felt so bad because then we also cut to Noelle's room, and she's like crying in her bedroom or whatever because of the Alex conversation.
Yeah,
in the bar. She's like, "I'm just so fucking embarrassed," and she goes to call her mom and stuff like that. It illuminates things a little bit later, but I just felt really bad for her because I just feel like she's just like a sweet person.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
well, and she's also trying to break into this group. She's new to most of these people. So I get that where you're like, I'm coming on to a show that was bomb last year,
yeah,
and I have to make an impact. And right now, my only impact has been getting rejected by this fuckboy,
yeah,
who will allegedly sleep with anyone and anything. So, like, how shitty does that make me feel?
Yeah. Preston's trying to explain to Joy, like, I mean, earlier today she expressed that she can't blow up and feels like that you can blow up. And that's kind of, like, what that's coming from. Preston does such a good job this whole episode of just, like, trying to find peace. Summer is like ranting to Jasmine in her room and is just going, "Jordan's so fucking defensive all the time, and I've not showed the fuck up for her every single moment." Amir is now checking on her, and she's just like, "I need a moment," and like kicks her shoes off in a way that's so clearly like she does not have control of her body or her emotions right now
at all.
Alex laughs in his confessional about this. He goes, "It's chaotic as shit. This is why I don't see how men have multiple wives."
What?
Okay. What? Like,
why did we go there?
Also, again, like the women be tripping thing, but like, it's That would never have been my assumption. Do you surround yourself with a lot of men who have multiple wives? Like, I don't.
Don't know. That seems silly.
Yeah. Summer goes, I'm tired of harboring her feelings because she fucking sucks. And I love that Amir is just like, take a breath. Like, he makes the point to be like, yeah, breathe in, breathe out for a moment. And Summer does it, but she's still like in the.
But I feel like it still does help her in the moment to kind of clear her head a little.
Yeah.
And then she dives right back into it. But, like, at least it gave her that moment of a little bit of serenity.
Yeah, she's still ranting to Jasmine, Shanice, and Amir. And she goes, 3 hours ago, you were crying in my fucking bathroom, and I held you. You're taking advantage of my fucking kindness, and I'm pissed the fuck off. Talking about the conversation where Jordan's crying about her alopecia. She never explicitly says this. That it's
right.
That what it was about. I think Jordan
overreacted.
I think Jordan overreacts, and I think when her emotions get a little more in check, I can see her being emotional about this in the moment.
Yeah.
But I think she really takes this and runs with it.
Yeah.
In a way that's overboard.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I forgot where someone said, maybe it was on Watch What Happens Live, they were like, a lot of people knew about her alopecia.
Oh, it was on Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, Summer specifically said everyone knew about that already.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a secret. We just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Because that's her thing.
They're all sitting as... So, they're like, Jasmine... I love Jasmine knows how to deal with, like, a drunk person. She's like, just take a shower. Like, we're going to get you in the shower, basically.
Yeah.
So, Summer's trying to, like, take a shower or whatever. Or starting to go take a shower. And Amir's, like, saying something about, like, look, sometimes it could just be... And you just hear... Bah. And then Shanice, immediately her eyes dart to Amir. Amir goes, you're lying right now. You're lying. Like, also, the way that this happened, Summer has her, I guess she had like a wrap top or something. Her top is down. She's holding her breasts in her hand. And she runs out of the bathroom and goes, you farted, Shanice? Oh my God. I think I posted it on our Instagram story. Whoever casted Shanice needs a raise.
Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. So Summer decides to go into Jasmine's room to sleep for the night. Some people are checking in. Jordan, is in the house, and like Shanice and Preston are checking on her. She's just like, I'm not well. Shanice goes, yeah, Summer said that you had like a little like crying moment upstairs earlier. And then this is where, like, it sets Jordan off. She's like, even these moments are used against me. And she's, like, crying about not feeling herself with her wig and all that stuff. It's just, yeah, she's taking it very deeply. But then she says to her confessional, Summer weaponized my vulnerability. Why would you be telling somebody that you know that I'm not on good terms with, meaning Jasmine specifically? Which maybe right. Jasmine didn't know, but...
No, they were acting like everyone knew, even Jasmine. Because yeah. Jasmine said that on Watch What Happens Live. She said, yeah, I knew about it already. But it's like, I feel like she was just feeling vulnerable about that issue. And that's why it hit that hard, even though it wasn't. Like, if anything, I felt like Jordan weaponized Summer's kindness.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way, too. I don't want to ever explain. I don't want to explicitly say that because I like Jordan, but like it did yeah. come off that way.
I don't think she did it intentionally. I mean, but we can do things that are toxic unintentionally.
Yeah.
We do that all the time. It's about owning it and apologizing.
They wake up the next morning and some of them are getting ready to go to church. Alex has like organized this like church trip. Alex comes into Summer and Noelle's, well, it's Summer, Jasmine, and Noelle's room. And he asks Summer, y'all want to come to church? You got to get up now though. And Summer goes, not particularly, which is me.
Honestly.
Like I love a good like 30 minute church session at like 3 PM. Like before then I'm good.
No.
Even still?
No.
Like something...
Well, okay. But you grew up not... I mean, you grew up going to church, but you didn't grow up as a every Sunday morning,
no.
Most Sunday nights, Wednesday night, like...
If we skipped the Sunday, it was fine.
Yeah. It was not that way for me growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah. It's very... people's experiences are different and, you know... Alex says that he does come from like four generations of Pentecostal preachers and stuff like that, which when they showed like the photos of him, like in the church choir, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
it's like that spirituality that he like exhibits is mainly from that, I feel, and not like the,
yeah.
That's why the spirituality still comes off like semi-misogynistic in parts, and like
yeah.
he doesn't. He's not like not that he's not woke, but that he's not like. You know what I mean? He's not like the most like
yeah.
in tune with like other people. He's just in tune with spirituality.
Right.
That's kind
yes.
of, that's kind of the difference. They arrive at the Union Chapel and Shanice goes, "It's going to burn down. I'm walking in this bitch." And the way she says her confessional, "I just got home at 4 a.m. But I mean, you know, God says come as you are. So I'm going to come fucked up." as back at the house, Summer's asking Preston about like what happened the night before and all that stuff with the whole Jordan thing. Preston goes, she was a little disappointed because when she was talking yesterday about her autoimmune disorder and everything else, she felt like you kind of used it against her. She's like, how? She goes, she's like, I don't know why that was like anyone's business. And Summer's like, I was just explaining it to basically be like, this, you were crying in this like emotional moment, and like I was comforting you, and like that's all it was.
And again, like you pointed out, she never mentioned what she was crying about.
Right.
She just mentioned that she needed a friend in that moment and that she was there for her.
Yeah. And then felt like,
yeah,
turned on. Noelle is talking to Bria in the kitchen. She's upset because she's like, Alex, he came into my room and asked Summer, are you going to church? Like, what about me? Which I'm like, okay, girl. This is where it's like, I give Noelle the pass because it's like she's still in like the feelings phase that yeah. is still raw. But it's like, but honestly, at this, because Bria is also like, he didn't invite me either. So, and he kind of, and Bria kind of checks him on that later. What is with Alex and just like his anti-etiquette in terms of inviting people to events? Like, he just doesn't know how to like properly like extend the invitation to everyone.
Yeah. And it just, I don't think it's on purpose. But I do think that he is absent-minded about people that he doesn't actively fuck with or is attracted to.
Yeah.
It's like if you respect only the women that you're attracted to, you don't respect women.
Right.
That's what it is.
Well, and I can understand why it's like when he like moves between women.
Yeah.
Why when it's like someone doesn't invite versus you don't invite this person, it does feel pointed because it's like, what is your intent? Like you said, what is your
right.
intention? What is the like goal at the end of the day for yeah. this? Is everything done for the purposes of moving on to someone?
Yeah. I do think that he didn't realize that Noelle was awake.
Maybe.
But when you have just had that encounter with her the night before, it should have been an intentional, I'm going to make sure that things are okay with her by actively inviting her. Like, there should have been a proactiveness that just wasn't there.
Yeah. Preston asked Summer, like, I always felt like there's some type of tension with you guys. And Summer's like, I think what it is I've tried to take care of her. I think I'm taking on her emotions too, and that's draining to me. And it's like, I actually saw Summer's point of view here, like in a way of like, I don't think it's maybe all of Jordan's personality. I think Jordan is in a place right now in life
yeah.
where yes, like if you are, I can see it feeling draining being her friend, and not to say that she's a burden, but it's like the way that Jordan expresses her emotions, it requires you to like,
yeah. Well, and there's a weight to her. Like, not physical, but like emotionally.
Yeah.
That wasn't there last year. I didn't feel like this was her vibe last year.
Sort of. It was kind of in a different way.
Well, yeah.
Because of the whole, like, you know, celibacy thing and like the.
It was very much, this is still Jordan, but it was like, oh, this is a Jordan in a different season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that hits different. It's kind of like the difference between Jasmine last season and Jasmine this season. Very different seasons of her life. And so we get a different Jasmine, but it's still Jasmine.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Summer goes to Jordan's room. Like, she passes, Jordan's still in the bed sleeping, but Summer just goes, I'm by the pool if you want to join. And then like Jordan just still stays in bed or whatever. Cause she's Summer goes to the pool to talk to Noelle, and they're discussing the night before and how Noelle feels like rejected by Alex. And that she says, it takes me back to my dad, and starts crying. Cause apparently her parents divorced when she was like 8 months old.
Yeah.
and like her, the absentee father thing, like we see with Preston, and she's relaying this now and just feels like abandoned by him. So, and it was really sad to see her talking about like consistently trying to reach out and just not receiving anything and just feeling like she doesn't deserve that. And it's stressful and you know,
childhood trauma can fuck you up for your entire life.
Yeah.
And it's just, I get it, girl. I get it.
Bria at one point is venting to Noelle about Mariah coming and sort of all the stuff in terms of that. I do agree with Bria, because Bria then goes, look, we had a talk about last summer, so why couldn't we have had a conversation? Like, I'm thinking of bringing Mariah back. I know you two had issues, but I want my best friend to be out there with me. So that is a good point. I think, like, I forgot the fact that, like, Bria and Jasmine seemingly mended in the interim between seasons and sort of, like, formed a tighter friendship. And,
right.
And, like, Jasmine says later, like, Bria was kind of a support for her in many ways. So, like, I get Bria being like, why didn't you broach the conversation then?
Right. Well, and I also, like, here's the thing.
Instead of springing it on me in this, like,
I get both sides of this, because I do feel why, I do understand why Bria feels blindsided, and Jasmine absolutely should have handled it better.
Yeah.
I think she could have easily said, you know, Mariah is going to come, but she's not going to stay here. You know, I want me and you and her to sit down and really have a conversation. Let's go out and grab lunch somewhere while she's in town, you know, that sort of thing. And let's try to mend this fence. Like, if Jasmine had come to it from a point of, I want to facilitate some healing here, I think Bria would have been on board from the jump.
And if she wasn't, that's fully on Bria, right?
Right, of course, you know. But I feel like springing it on her days after you've already been here, and it's like, no, then finding out that the plane ticket was bought before she was ever consulted, like, all of that just feels shady.
Yeah.
Even though I feel like Bria is overreacting based on what actually happened last season between her and Mariah, I still understand why she feels the way she feels. I also understand why Jasmine feels dead set on having her there, because Jasmine's walking into this trip feeling like Bria's the only friend she's got.
Yeah.
And number one, doesn't want to risk ruining that friendship by, and not getting Mariah, right, by bringing it up and then having it shut down, and now she's there by herself. But she doesn't, she's lost ground with everyone else on this trip, because people have been cutting her out of things.
Right.
So I get it. I get both sides. I just, it could have been handled a lot better.
Yeah.
But also, this is better TV, so,
well, that's, you know, like, Jasmine the producer, I will say.
Like, I mean, maybe that's it. Who knows?
They return from church, and Bria, like, jokes with Alex, like, thanks for inviting me. And Alex is like, everyone was invited. She's like, I didn't get the invite. Alex like, we'll go back again at some point. Bria asks Preston, like, would you ever go? And Preston's like, no, like, I just never really enjoyed church. Amir then goes, I feel like, you know, if you take a piece of every single religion and you just observe it, you know, that's what, like, connection is. You know, the only way that you're really going to understand the full range of what it means to be human is to absorb everything. Preston gives him, like, a confused look. I thought he was making sense here.
I agree with Amir on the merits of his argument. I don't know why he said it in this moment.
Sure.
It's like, why would you then preach to a queer person who has been historically and still contemporarily ostracized by the church at large?
Yeah. I think it's like a...
why they should give the church a chance.
It's like, I think the scripture versus the institution, too.
Yes.
And I think that, to me, what I took from it is kind of where I... because I view myself as kind of agnostic, where it's like, I believe in something, and I like to learn about other religions, and I like to see other people's practices and, like, all that stuff. And, like, that's the thing that's interesting to me more than, like, it's entrenching myself in a specific institution.
Well, and see, I'm an omnist, which is very similar to what Amir is talking about, in that there is value in all religions and there is a nugget of truth somewhere in that religion, but no one religion holds all truth.
And also, I think a lot of their teaching, for not all of them, because some religions are actively just terrible all around.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot of them, the teachings are the same. It's just the practices are different. The messaging is slightly different.
The practices may not be that different. Like if you line up a Catholic mass next to a Wiccan ritual,
they're very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah.
There's incense. There's candles being lit. There's like chanting and all of these things.
It was how we were able to get away with it at our wedding and not scare my mom away.
Honestly, it was pretty similar.
Noelle is in her room and she calls her mom Sabrina to tell her about like what she's going through with like the Alex stuff. She's like, I told him, like, I'm interested in you. I know you're interested in me. I just kind of feel like weird that you're like dancing and flirting with this girl in my face a little bit. Like, which, and she's kind of abridging it, I guess, but she
doesn't own him though.
Right. I saw a lot of people be like, girl, Noelle, you can't like expect him to like not do that. I think she knows that. I think she's more just speaking of this is my,
she's just acknowledging her feelings about it, which is fair. And that's healthy.
And Sabrina goes, I would just be done with him. Noelle goes, I just hated that I revealed my hand, mom. Cause I'm not like that. I ain't no crazy bitch. And she goes, Noelle, listen, stop all the crying. You're human. Don't let other people dictate who you are. And that kind of illuminated things for me. Cause I was like, oh, I know why she kept saying like, I feel embarrassed now, et cetera. Her saying like, I showed my hand, right?
Right.
Like, I think it was the moment where she was like,
this is my toxic trait.
One of my toxic traits is I'm territorial with people and kind of like exposed an element of herself to her,
right,
in the hopes that it would like help the situation. And then when it was met within a wall from him,
right,
that makes her feel like, one, why did I share that? Two,
was this why I was curbed?
Right. And you know, I can get where it's like, that feels fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. And it's, but I feel like she's in the middle of this healing process of that, right?
Uh-huh.
First thing, how many times in healing of psychological issues is the first step naming it?
Right.
The first step is naming it and acknowledging it on a base level. This is my toxic trait. I am aware that it's my toxic trait. I'm working on it. That's healthy to me. She's aware that it's an issue. Is she able to always stop herself from doing that? No, but she can recognize it and point it out and like give a voice to that feeling and then move forward from it.
Yeah.
As opposed to what happens, and we'll talk about it on our next episode with Vanderpump Villa, where this same sort of ownership while in a flirtatious stage seems to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not acknowledged that this is a toxic issue and this, I don't actually have ownership over this person, even though we have flirted, you know, like,
yeah,
there's that dichotomy here, which I thought was really interesting.
I agree. We see it like this really quick scene where they head out onto the beach and they play Martha Says, and they do, someone got a card game that's the Hood spelling bee. So you have to spell like boss, but it's spelled BAWSE. Like fun enough stuff. There wasn't much in this scene, but it was just like delightful fun. And it's like for like a show that's about like a vacation.
Yeah.
You need that, you know, to a certain extent.
Somebody, I think it was Jasmine, asked Milo if he needed oil.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was cute.
Milo really like kind of just like the background star of this,
honestly,
season. I feel
unproblematic king.
They return back to the house, and Amir is working on like the dinner for tonight because they're doing like a soul food Sunday. Him not being able to figure out because they have the two, the upper and the lower oven. He goes into like the drawer underneath as if that's like a third oven or something.
It's a warming drawer.
Like, bro, come on. Like, get it together. Well, we'll talk about his cooking in a little bit.
Oh, that man.
Summer then pulls Jordan to the side and asks if she wants to talk, and so they go off into a room to discuss things from the night before. Summer sets a point in her confessional where she goes, you know, there's a lot happening in my life. I'm figuring out who my father is. I was like, I didn't know this plot point. Did she mention this before?
I think last season, hadn't she talked about something about with figuring that sort of stuff out.
Maybe.
I feel there's like a little nugget of something in the recesses of my memory that has something to do with figuring out who a father is.
Yeah. So they start talking. Jordan starts and she goes, you know, I don't know what really was the problem. You know, that coupled with bringing up what had happened earlier in the day, I just didn't understand why a really private moment, whether you share the details or not, was even being brought up. I do kind of feel like sharing that was a violation. There's something very, I'm going to steal a Heather DeBrow term. There's something very punitive about the way that Jordan argues in ways.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this is a strike against, like she's, it feels like she's taking score.
Right.
And I don't always, I kind of felt that way with the Jasmine conversation, the first episode as well, to a certain extent.
I think it's okay to keep score because you have to line things up and go, these things need to be named so that you can take accountability of them. In that regard, I think that that sort of thing needs to happen. But I do feel like there was nothing wrong with Summer actually bringing it up because, number one, she didn't give context. And all she was doing was using that as context of, why are you attacking me when I have shown you that I am there for you?
Yeah.
And it felt more like Jordan didn't want her to point that hypocrisy right. out than it did Jordan being upset about any revelation of weakness.
Yeah, and I think even beyond pointing the hypocrisy, I think you're right, but like talking about the root of the issue, I feel like my frustration with this conversation was like because Jordan kept redirecting it back to Summer sharing what she shared. And it's like, yes, but you guys aren't dialing into the core of like what Summer is feeling and why. And yes, I'm sorry that that influenced it because that is why she said what she said.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you have to address that.
Like you have to set the stage of, I thought we were in a good place, and then you would, like you come at me like that at dinner.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so are we at a good place? I don't understand where we are because you flipped on me.
Yeah.
That's why it was brought up.
Summer goes, I think we have to kind of backtrack a little bit. There were times last night where your tone to me felt very belittling. So I was saying, I was just upstairs caring for you. And it felt like, and then Jordan cuts her off and goes, but I truly don't think it should have been brought up at all. Part of a friendship is being able to provide a safe space. And if it's exposed in any sort of way, it just doesn't feel safe. This is where I mean like the keeping score thing. Cause it's like Jordan's reading a contract.
Right.
And it's like, you violated this, therefore. And it's like, but that's not what a friend, like, yes, there are certain things you expect in a friendship, but also again, you're talking about your feelings to each other and how you made a person feel and vice versa.
But if we're going to talk about keeping score and violating a contract, Jordan violated that contract first by flipping on her at dinner.
Right. You could argue like,
at what point are we actually going to, like, we have to talk about this in order of events. Summer showed up for you. You flipped on Summer. Then Summer said, I am upset because I showed up for you and then you flipped on me.
Yeah.
Recording the events in the way that they happened is not a violation. She did not violate your friendship by saying I was a friend to you. That is not a violation of that contract. You flipping on her with absolutely no reason to is a violation.
Yeah. Summer, though, apologizes. She goes, then I'm sorry for that. You know, the private conversation should stay private. I don't want you to feel like you can't come to me in a time of need and worry that it's going to be told to other people. So she apologizes. And Jordan's reaction is like a dismissive, like, you know, okay then sort of vibe. Summer then talks about her feelings. She goes, I feel like sometimes you can be just angry in an argument. It just feels very angry. Jordan goes, okay. And it's, again, I didn't love the way Jordan handled this.
Yeah, it was very, Summer, you have to show up for me and to keep my confidence and never ever tell someone else that you showed up for me. However, I'm going to dismiss every feeling you ever have.
Yeah. Summer goes, do you feel like you can trust me? And Jordan goes, I feel like my trust was violated. And Summer goes, well, thank you for this talk. And Jordan goes, thank you. And then Jordan in confessional goes, Summer and I are fine at this moment. I just know that for my own protection, there's always going to be that thing that's like, maybe I should keep this one to myself. So you're not fine.
Yeah.
That's my, you're not fine. And again, I think it parallels with the Jasmine conversation, right? You kind of just like didn't accept anything that Jasmine was giving you in terms of acknowledging your feelings, and then also weren't acknowledging her feelings. And then it's like, well, we'll agree to disagree and we'll be cordial to each other. And it's like, but no, like there's both of, here's my frustration is that like both of these times with Jasmine and now with Summer, it's like, no, there's actually potential there to like fix it fully, right?
Yeah.
You have, it's not that, I'm not trying to dismiss it, but it's like, it's not that deep to where you can't fix it.
Right. Well, and Jordan seems to be unable.
And it's like you're choosing not to.
Jordan seems to be unable to have mid-levels.
Yeah.
She's either completely cut off emotionally, like she was here, or completely at 100.
Yeah.
And I think that's been people's issues. It's black or white. There's no shades of gray. There's no dynamic to it. Mm-hmm. It's just blindingly loud or nothing at all.
Yeah. They all sit down to eat dinner for Soul Food Sunday. Amir's like going through, it's like they have the mac and cheese. Bria made like chicken with stuffing. She goes, Amir goes, we have Philly steaks, no cheese. And they look terrible. I'm sorry. Those looked awful.
I was irritated.
And I also thought he did them for Alex because Alex is vegan. Well, but I mean, they were still steak in it. I guess that doesn't make sense. But Amir's just like, I forgot cheese. So
how do you, it's literally in the name. I'm making Philly cheese steaks.
Yeah.
You don't actually need Philly, that you don't like cook Philadelphia. That's not a thing. But like cheese and steak. Like if you had forgot the bread, I would have forgiven that more than this. How you forget the cheese?
Yeah.
And did he even have pepper and onions?
No. And they weren't even, the buns weren't even toasted. Those were whiter than any, like in, no, 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 no.
Girl,
it was really bad. Like at least Subway toast theirs. Like
at least he's pretty. I
Alex is noticing though that Jordan's like really quiet during the dinner, and she's like on her phone and like, you know, not engaging with people, and he's like kind of concerned by it, which I understand as well. Like she does feel like,
yeah,
distant. Then so they go to bed and we wake up the next morning. Bria is calling Simon and helping organize Simon, like, cause he's coming to the vineyard, but she's like, Simon, they have flights going out. Like, why haven't you gotten a flight? And he goes, I just checked it. There are no tickets. And she goes, and like, it gets so like, they both are just like disagreeing about like, Bria's like, yeah, I see the tickets. He's like, there's not any tickets. Bria goes, stop yelling. What is your problem?
But also like, dude, pack your bag, go to the airport, and stand in line at the front desk.
Yeah.
They will get you the next ticket, and you will get on that flight. How is this difficult? We did this in the 90s before internet existed. Like, you used to have to go to the airport and buy a ticket. Like, we know how to do this. It's a thing. We can do that again.
Yeah. I agree. Bria's talking about, again, about how she's going through, like, dick withdrawal. She goes, they should come up with like a VR way of like having long distance sex. Like you could see your partner butt ass naked and it would feel like you're actually having sex. I'm like, that's called FaceTime.
I mean, it's not VR, but like, okay.
It's close enough. You would need, I mean, but still like VR, what is VR going to, is VR going to like inseminate you? Like what?
No.
Like
you're not going to, I mean, no, that's not how would you feel it?
You still need to get like a separate vibrator.
Are you supposed to like plug into a sex toy and like somehow that's going to read the and like mimic the movement of your partner? That's not
too complicated.
It's not, I don't think, feasible in the next 100 years.
No.
VR has to really improve.
Bria is getting everything ready to throw her Bria's World party that she's doing, which the theme was, I guess, Bria. I was so confused by this theme when we get to it. It's like,
it was random ass shit thrown together.
It's like,
because why were there llamas?
Yeah, why was there
alpacas? Sorry.
But also, it was just like, was it like the fair, but it was like popcorn and cotton? But it was also supposed to give like Coachella vibes because they had like tents and like, it was confusing.
Uh huh.
Jasmine's FaceTiming Silas in her room. But, and so this is where she reveals, so I think that people are starting to suspect. And I kind of just wanted to, like, get it out. And so I was like, I totally get it. And so Jasmine does reveal that, yes, she is pregnant. We all knew this, obviously.
Yeah.
But that she's waiting until her second trimester in a couple days to, like, tell the whole group. Because, you know, she wants to, you know, be, you know, she's, and it, I, when we get to, like, what the episode ends with, I'm like, oh, my God. She's planning this, like, giant sentimental moment where she can tell everybody that she's pregnant. And it's like, oh, man. Like, I can't. Yeah, so like we said, they go out to the Lard for Bria's World. They have popcorn. They have cotton candy. Bria brings in a couple alpacas. Alex is like, I have no fucking idea what this is about.
None.
Summer goes, it feels like Coachella when, like, everyone has left. Yeah, it really, there was, it, I think my issue was it was sparse. Like, there was, like, a,
yeah,
like one of those, like, sit-down, like, table things, and then, like, a random popcorn stand, and, like, that was it.
Yeah.
Among this giant field.
Yeah.
Like, you can have, like, this out of little money.
We could have put this in a backyard.
Yeah.
Like, why is this in a field?
They all sit and eat. This was so odd. Summer, so Bria is, like, getting some food or whatever, but everyone's out sitting. And Summer asked Shanice, like, are Bria and Simon good? I think it was because they heard them arguing probably in the bedroom about the tickets. Shanice goes, yeah, she says they're all good. Bria walks over and goes, and Shanice goes, we were just talking about Simon. Is he coming here? Bria goes, how many times are you going to ask me that? Shanice goes, I know he's coming, but, like, is he going to, like, be in New York after? Bria goes, I don't want to talk about it.
What?
I was like, all right. The way that Amir goes, oh, okay. Like, very, like, this. Like, oh, Bria's mad. Like, cool. Awesome. For no reason.
I think Amir's very much in the, you know what? I'm not going to poke any bears this season. If somebody's upset, I'm going to just put my hands up and walk away.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with this.
Bria in her conversation goes, he's just visiting. What the fuck? Does Jasmine and Silas have to report to me when they're having sex? Does Tasia and Nick have to report to me when they're having sex? So I don't have to report if I'm having an argument with Simon to anyone. I'm a very private person. And if they don't respect it, they can go kick rocks. It's like, what?
Nobody asked that.
No one even mentioned the argument, right?
Or sex. Why did sex come up? What?
This is where I was, like, in your camp of, like, Bria, like,
she's delusional.
It's honestly, just, is she pregnant? Because, like, she, or at the very, I mean, she was.
She's
she
been
was, like,
drinking, hasn't
season.
She? So,
because I, or it's like, can you, it, like, I really think she could do, like, a hormone balance or something.
Maybe
because it's just, it's.
I mean, there could definitely be hormone issues outside of pregnancy. So, like,
yeah, something like that. They then head on out to dinner. At this sort of, like, bar, like a dive bar kind of place. Oh my God, they're ordering food. That whoever ordered that fucking octopus, which looked like it was
absolutely
a,
not.
It looked like it was a fucking alien tentacle.
It was still wiggling.
And I like octopus, but this was like it was like the size of, like, the Kraken.
Like, it looked like one of those those octopus tentacle sex toys.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, why is the skin so crispy like that? Why is it? That's not. Why is the skin still on? Can we get rid of these suckers, please?
Everyone's sort of, like, having a good time, and Jordan's, like, on her phone. Alex notices and goes, Jordan's real quiet. Like, I just want to check in. Jordan goes, what in particular? Because she's like, doesn't want to talk. Alex goes, look, I don't feel like you're as involved as I remember you being. So Bria asks her how she's feeling, and Jordan, like, pauses for a moment, and she goes, I've experienced a lot of loss in my life, and I've been responsible for a lot of people's lives, more than 99% of the 31-year-olds that I know, and it impacted how I looked at life. There's so many things I want to experience with my father while he's still here, and I don't know if I will ever have that time. Not because he's sick, but because my brain is constantly thinking about time. I was like, oh, so it's not even about... I was like, I felt bad, and she was crying, and it was like, oh... But I was like, oh, this isn't even about the alopecia. Okay, whew, like, it, okay, so you have, like a lot of, like... Everyone's got, like, massive traumas on this show, I feel.
Yeah, and it felt very much like... Jordan maybe should not have been on this season.
Yeah, kind of.
Not because... she's not good for the show, like, or dislike her or whatever. It's more of a, are you in a place to be here? Are you, like, you feel like your mind is somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if your mind is going to be there, girl, just go. Like, be where you need to be. Like, this is a stupid show. Like, at the end of the day, you don't have to be here.
Right.
Go take care of things. And it's That's like, okay.
It's like that part about like worrying about time all the time, like resonated with me because you know me, I am that person.
Oh yeah.
But like, I also couldn't like I was like, oh, that's, you know, I can sympathize with that. But it's also, it's like what Summer was kind of saying before about like the way in which Jordan just dumps everything.
Oh yeah.
In a way that's just like, so like, again, it sounds selfish, but it's like you just bring the mood down in a way that's not like, you know, and it's like
the serious version of the Debbie Downer skit from SNL.
Kind of a little bit.
Where everybody's having a good time and she goes, yeah, so my hair is falling out and that's really important to black women. And everyone goes, that's, yeah, that is really sad and that's awful. And God damn it, we were having a good time.
Yeah.
3 seconds ago.
Well, and then she talks about the hair part. She's like, I'm losing my hair. As a black woman, hair is our currency. And as we all know, I'm single. You know, I don't know what's going on with me in terms of my life, basically. Amir goes, I don't want you to think that you can't count on people at this table to show up for you. Like, which I thought was very sweet and well put by Amir. Jordan goes, anything else? Because she stops crying eventually. She goes, anything else? Alex goes, I'm just going to speak for myself. I understand you on a deeper level in one dinner than I understood you last year. And it's not that I needed this moment to do that, but because you were willing enough to share that, which I think was sweet of Alex, actually. But
I thought it was.
But then Jordan just goes, that's not true. You didn't understand me because you had my friend fucked up. And I was ready to kick your ass if we're going to keep it gangsta.
Here we go.
It's like, oh, man. I'm sorry. It's really up and down. Like,
it really is. It's, girl.
She goes, you had me completely fucked up with that Shanice situation. Jordan goes, you called me toxic the first time you met me. You judged me the first time you met me. Shanice goes, you judged me the first time you met me. Because Shanice is like, yeah, fuck Alex. She's hated Alex this whole time. Alex, here's the thing also, because this is the thing from last season where like Alex brought up the whole story that was about like Shanice allegedly stalking her ex and like the stuff that like emerged from that or whatever,
which the courts dismissed, but on lack of real evidence.
Well,
not...
that's the thing. Like Shanice says this, when Shanice is describing it later, she says, he sued me for stalking, which I never did. And the courts agreed with me. That's not actually what happened.
The court said that there was not actual evidence of stalking because your communication was mutual.
Right. There was like text message exchange that was like mutual conversation, and so therefore they couldn't like deem it as like, yeah.
It didn't technically fall under the statute of stalking.
Right. But Alex, here's the thing. Alex is also kind of bullshitting a little bit. He goes, I didn't know Shanice. He says this in his confessional. I didn't know Shanice, so I didn't feel quite comfortable having that conversation one-on-one with her. But people knew it was going to come out, and I thought it would be good for her to own her narrative around it.
That's not horseshit. What that was. You were being messy.
Yeah. And then, but Alex gets upset about this at the table. He goes, and if we want to talk about the Shanice thing, I didn't Google any of you. I only knew that shit because of Nick. I'm tired of people saying I Googled people. I didn't Google people. I brought it up because I was trying to protect her. And the way that fucking Shanice goes, protect me.
What I don't get is that if that was the case, then you wouldn't have been gossiping about it before Shanice even got to the house, which is what happened.
And also you brought it up on camera. Like,
right. You could have pulled Shanice aside when she got there, and the first time you talked about it was with her.
Yeah.
That I would have believed then, that you were saying, hey, just so you know, everyone knows about this thing. I wanted you to know so that you can address it. That's it.
Yeah. But she's like, protect me. And then she starts crying. She goes, you traumatized me, Alex. Anytime anyone Googles me, it comes back up. Like, it's traumatizing. Any guy I date, they're all like, what's happened like with this? And she's breaking down, crying at the table. Jasmine goes, who was the first to talk about it? Period. Nick goes, Alex was talking about it. Then it was brought up at the brunch. You didn't want to talk about it, so we stopped. But Jasmine, to be fair, you were like, let's talk about it. And we didn't want to say anything, and shit hit the fucking fan. I think that's kind of shitty to throw Jasmine under. Like,
Jasmine's like, now why I'm in it?
The whole brunch he's talking, it reached a point with, like, everyone was talking behind people's back. Yeah. And there was resentment being built. So Jasmine's like, let's fucking squash this, actually.
She was actually trying to, like, facilitate some healing in that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, even though that necessarily wasn't her job, like, her and Silas last season felt like they were in charge of everybody. And so, of course, if someone's going to facilitate something, it's going to be Jasmine.
Yeah. Shanice is like, it's literally a legal issue. I didn't do anything, and he put my nudes out and made me seem like the crazy one. He's like trying to sue me for like $20,000. Like, there's way more shit, which, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if he's still suing her, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That also might be why she's so free with sharing her nudes now, because she's like, fuck it, everybody's seen it anyway. I'm going to reclaim that power.
Yeah, that's true. Alice asks Shanice if he can give her a hug. He's like, sorry, and all that. And Shanice lets him do it. She says to her confessional, I can give the fuck boy a hug. Why not? Just one. I love the way that Shanice just, like, is like, I'm fine again. I mean, it's probably not healthy, but whatever. So Preston kind of talks about, like, you know, sometimes we also have to look about, like, you know, yes, I might not have shared something, but was I in a space enough? And did the people around me allow me the space in which to share it? That's me included, right? Whatever. And then, of course, Bria finds her moment. She goes, I have something to say.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Okay. All right.
She goes, I've been a little unauthentic, you know, in how I feel about this whole experience. And I want to speak up and say things. You know, today my mood has shifted a lot. And she's sitting right next to Jasmine. She goes, and I'm going to be completely honest, I don't feel comfortable with Mariah coming to the house. And the way, the look on Jasmine's face, like, Jasmine's incredulous face is my favorite. She just goes, like, she goes, I don't even know what to say right now, to be honest. It's like, okay, cool. Like, and the way Jasmine in her confessional goes, I think my friends really see me take a lot of stuff on the chin and move forward. Like, not a lot bothers me, but my mother is a brilliant and resilient 2-time convicted felon. Do not try me in this moment. I was like, wow, girl. Jasmine, like, I think Jasmine's a star on this show, actually. I really think she's, like, bringing it in terms of the, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Summer goes, speak your piece, because I think you don't feel. And Jasmine goes, I don't know what the fuck to feel. I just feel bamboozled every fucking day here. And Bria goes, I agree. It's like, I'm a victim too here.
Bria's always the victim, though.
Jasmine goes, I hear you, but I'm frustrated, and I feel like I'm allowed to be frustrated. And she starts to tear up, and they're, like, comforting her because it's just too fucking much. Bria goes, I think we have our significant others coming. We have our close friends coming. People that haven't had altercations with us, I think, should be welcomed. Mariah, she's fucking with my mental peace, and I don't fuck with that. And she's starting to, like, getting real. Like, this is where Bria's, like, cursing a lot and starting to get, like, much more, I don't want to say aggressive, that's not the right word, but, like, just sort of, like,
amped
is more, probably more apt. But it's like, oh my god, Bria, like, just, like, I get that. It's like, it's one thing, I'm, like you said, I'm with you on the, like, kind of feeling like Jasmine didn't communicate to you properly, but communicate that instead of just going, I'm not comfortable with Mariah being here.
And I just feel like it is a over exaggeration, considering that all of that with Mariah was your fucking fault.
Yeah.
If you had disclosed that Milo was coming,
we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here. If you had been more careful about cleaning up about him, like with his hair and him pooping all over the place, we wouldn't be here. Like, it was your lack of responsibility and maturity that led to the issue with Mariah. And even then, all she did was throw a blanket in your face.
Yeah.
Get over it. It's not like she hit you.
Yeah. Noelle, as she's comforting Jasmine, goes, can we get some shots? Can you bring some shots, Amir? Like, priorities, right?
Yeah.
And then Amir goes to get the shots, and he's like, tells the bartender, would you mind pouring us 8 shots? Jordan comes up behind, he's like, I want a shot too. And Amir goes, 9? 9 shots? Back at the table, Jasmine goes, I'm cool. Summer goes, you don't have to be cool. And Noelle goes, neither one of them are cool. Like, in terms of this. Bria goes, I'm keeping it real on how I feel. And she starts getting up. Just look, get, like, go to the other side of the table, basically, to yell more. Noelle's, like, trying to grab it, like, grasp it. No, no, Bria, get up.
Calm down. Sit down. What are you doing?
Bria goes, I wouldn't allow anyone to put hands on anyone in this house. Jasmine goes, but you're good with Summer, which was, I was like, oh, that's a great fucking point.
Yeah.
Summer actually, like, physically shoved Bria. Like,
which is a lot more than Mariah did.
Yeah. And that's apparently fine because I guess Summer has her check, her main cast member check or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And then Bria just goes, I suppress my feelings for you, yelling back in the bar with Amir and Jordan. The bartender goes, do you want me to bring them out there? And Amir goes,
I'll do it.
I'll wait. Like, I'm cool sitting here. You cool sitting here, Jordan? And Jordan goes, I like mine here. Amir's like, change of scenery, tone of voice. They were such a mood. Jasmine goes, I get that you're trying to be the bigger person. Appreciate it. Thank you for trying, which is such a good read on Bria. Bria goes, okay, then when we get back to the house, I'm going to get loud because I can't express myself. I'll just be quiet here. I'll be quiet. Preston, his confessional, goes, you're always turning up. You're always walking away and not doing nothing, pretending you're hood. Like, some people need a grip on reality. And I'm talking like the girl who put the Gorilla Glue in their hair type grip. Preston, don't fuck with Bria. And I'm so here for it.
Honestly, it's so weird because I feel like they came into the season pretty close. Like, they came in like the kind of people who fight a lot, but they're fine. Like, they're close, but that's because they fight a lot.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And at this point, Preston's like, I'm so fucking done with her. Can we, like, shove her in the sound or something?
Bria goes, Jasmine, for me, I'm hurt. And Jasmine goes, I can recognize you're hurt, but I'm frustrated. I came into this house not knowing where I stood with anyone but you and Alex. Anybody. And then this, like, Jasmine starts crying, and she gives this, like, Oscar level monologue. I felt it was like I was like taken aback by it. She goes, and there was a lot of fucking isolation, and I didn't know where I stood with anybody. I was just trying to put my big girl panties on and have the conversation we needed to have, because I needed y'all this summer. I needed no BS. I just needed fun and support. I'm going through a lot right now.
It was everything.
And so, and they're like covering her. She's like bawling, crying. And it's like, oh no. Cause she's pregnant and she hasn't told them yet.
Yeah. It was, what is her name that was, on Scandal?
Oh, fuck.
What is her name?
What the, oh my God. Why can't I do fucking names of people, like famous people? It should be like the easiest goddamn thing in the world. Kerry Washington?
Oh, no. I'm
you said Scandal.
I did say Scandal. I'm thinking How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh. God damn it! What is wrong with me? Oh, my God. Anyway, I know what you... Yeah, but you're right. It is
Viola Davis.
It's very Viola Davis.
It's very Viola Davis. And I was like, give this bitch an Oscar and just EGOT her now. Like, yeah. We're good. We could give all four at once. We're good. This bitch can perform.
Yeah. A fantastic end to a great episode of Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Yeah. Just full on emotional people being emotional. It's what we want on reality television.
Honestly. And the thing is that it's mess without the stress, because I walk away from this feeling good, feeling light. There's no like stakes to it.
Like, it's all hydrated.
It's all like messy, petty bullshit. And that's what I'm here for. All right, let's get into these tops and bottoms. We got Drag Race. We got Potomac. We got Martha's Vineyard. What you thinking, babe?
I'll start with my top. I'm going to give it to Summer over on Martha's Vineyard. I just really liked her this episode, and I finally, like, her and on Watch What Happens Live, she has this, like, cool comfortability to her that I find really engaging as, like, a reality star. And, like, I thought she was hilarious in her, like, drunken arguments, in the beginning of the episode. And I sided her in terms of most of the stuff with Jordan. I was actually, like, I sort of saw her perspective on things in a way that, like, you know, I was rooting her on in that regard. I think she just did a really great job this episode and kind of stepped it up in many ways from last year.
Mm-hmm.
My bottom, I'm I'm going to give it to Andy Cohen just from that Potomac reunion. I think it was really bad. It wasn't as bad as the Jersey reunion that we think is like the worst of all time. But I think, like, again, we need to figure out some way in which we can really dive into things. I don't know if he's just gotten lazy. I don't know if, like, him having kids now, he's just, like, you know, tired more and is dismissive of more things. Like, he's too into the cards. He doesn't really, like, deviate from conversation and, like, again, get into the depths of things. And he used to do that. And it's like,
I think he's too afraid to piss somebody off. And so he just won't push anything.
And he can't be. Can't have a moderator
right
at a reunion be afraid of that.
Right.
It's just like you can't win that way.
Because you can be respectful and still hold people accountable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard.
I agree. So that's my frustration. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms?
My bottom, to echo from your top, is Jordan.
Yeah.
I thought about giving it to Bria, but I think I'm going to let her cook because I think she's going to dig herself a hole a lot more during the season.
Probably.
So I'm going to go ahead and go Jordan today. It's such a fall from last season. Like, you were talking about how Summer has really stepped it up from last season. I really feel the opposite has happened with Jordan. I feel like a lot of people were with Jordan last season, really liked Jordan as like a breakout star of last season.
Yeah.
I think she has just not been in the right headspace to be on the show this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's taking it out on everyone around her.
Now that I think about it, I remember some people who watched it saying that she was weird on Winter House.
Oh, that's right. She was on Winter. I can't imagine her and Schwartz being in the same house.
God, like she would strangle the man.
Why did he survive that encounter?
I have no clue. But like, I heard people saying like she seemed off and sort of like, maybe there's something there. Like,
I think she's just going through something, and it's hard to go through something like that and be on reality television at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not critiquing her for who she is and for going through something. We all go through things and we are not ourselves at those times. I'm critiquing it from the lens of this is not enjoyable on reality television.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings that heaviness that Martha's Vineyard has up till now not had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I get real trepidatious when we start getting to those topics that are like continuing to hang around. Like, we can talk about things fine, no matter how dark they are, but we need to like move on from them. And this is lingering.
Right.
So I get like PTSD from dealing with several seasons of Jersey where it's just been exhausting the whole time, and Potomac where it's just been exhausting the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just don't want to do that anymore. My top is going to go to, it's going to be a group win for all of the Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
That was just good shit. Special shout outs to Morphine for winning. Amazing. For a mandatory meeting, to Mirage, just for performing so much better than I think people expected. And also going to Hershey, did so well, I think more than anybody expected from her. But clearly the star of the Lollapalooza was Megami.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, just blew people's expectations out of the water and showed people that you don't have to be good at choreography. You don't even necessarily have to be the best dancer in order to turn it. And she did. She served every lip sync that she was in. And she did four. Like, so amazing. Such beautiful work. Such an amazing celebration of drag this whole episode was. And I think really this is the kind of thing that I want to show people when they're like, when they don't understand drag and they want like an introduction to drag. This is what drag is at its base form. This is drag. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.